The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box, and this podcast would not exist without the help of our Patreon supporters. Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, and Steve, thank you guys so much for participating with us at patreon.com/TOTLB. You have no idea how amazing it feels that you guys support our show. We want everybody to participate with us, so be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and help us out so that you too can be added to the roles of people that support the best goddamn pop culture podcast called Thinking Outside the Long Box in the world.
Is that a banana in your pocket, or are you just excited for the new episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe?
And Tim, and yeah, it's, I am pretty excited. I also have a banana, it's not weird.
Doyle, alone at home on Pornhub Night.
Oh, we're recording, by the way.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Boat.
The Long Boat?
The Long Boat, I guess.
Do we have any long boats?
It's a Viking show now. Episode 79. I am Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Tim.
Whose mic is being destroyed. And probably should be closer.
Oh, it's because I have to turn it up because he's way too far away from it.
Always too far away.
At least it's not like Dom on the year-end episode, who sounded probably like about like this.
I try to move the mic to him, too.
We kept yelling at him.
I move it closer to him, and then he moves further away like Tim did.
Hello? I don't know what you're talking about. I've been like this the whole time, man. We're full of shit.
So I had some startling revelations last night. Tim came over to hang out last night. We got super weeded.
You got a gray hair on your ball.
Yeah, I do have a gray hair on my ball. Thanks for finding that for me, Tim.
You're welcome, bub. Yeah. Just looking out for you.
Looking for ticks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's not much to look at when I'm down there, so I'm like, you know you got a gray hair right here?
He was looking for dicks, but then he gave up
for ticks.
You know, like when apes are in a line and they're like trying to, you know, they're cleaning each other.
So I have notes in my
weird
book for
imagery.
Tim. All right. First off, Tim, tell us about the time you met Ric Flair.
So 2 years ago at Colorado Springs, both of you were there, I think. But
yeah.
We didn't know each other yet, I don't think.
Not very well.
Years ago we did.
Did we?
Well, I mean, but it wasn't like this where you're in my house and shit. But
and yeah. Checking my balls my for tick.
Yeah, and checking your balls for tick. And so, you know. We're all standing here holding each other's dicks.
Oh, hey, yo. Side note, we're pretty far away. I mean.
Yeah, my
that's
dick
not,
not
yeah.
go that far.
Well, yours doesn't, but Juan's might.
I don't know. I haven't heard him brag yet. So.
He's
that's
modest.
Over the course of like 3 years. So
he's modest.
I would have heard by now.
So,
you know, Juan has
when
a big
you have
dick?
A big dick, everybody says it. Like.
So this is where things become weirdly appropriate for this podcast. So I met Ric Flair in the bathroom.
at
Colorado Springs Comic Con 2 years ago, and it was just me and him at the end of like the day.
Don't worry, this isn't a sexual assault.
No,
yeah, this is him coming out.
I'm not going to Kevin Spacey this.
Hashtag
so
me too. Sorry, I should have said that right there.
Just lost all your.
I know all every your female listener.
Yeah,
I'm very sorry,
no,
but
come on.
That's
they,
not what this.
We
is.
Hardly ever disrespect females. They had it coming,
and we have probably.
Jesus Christ. Are you kidding? That's the most tame thing I could say. Have you listened to our past episodes?
He means
no.
Had it coming as in like women getting insulted
yes,
on the show,
yes.
not
like
sooner
or later. Yeah, yeah.
Sooner or later we were bound to actually offend everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it.
The episode
we'll
that
out.
Comes out today, Doyle talks about Orientals. So
again?
Yeah.
Love
surprise.
It. I love it when he talks about Orientals. It's so funny. So it's me and Ric Flair
terrible.
In the bathroom. And I had, like, just got done washing my hands, and he looks over at me and he goes, can you help me put my jacket back on? I'm going to rip this damn thing.
What? He is pretty fucking broad.
So I look at him and I go, yeah, sure thing, Ric. Not so not weird. Mr. Flair, not like woo or anything. Just yeah, okay, Rick. Because I was more
what
like,
what else can I hope for you, sir?
I was more flabbergasted that he was speaking to me. That like it was maybe I just didn't notice he was there, and then I was like, oh fuck, yeah.
Yeah, Rick. Flair, holy shit.
Yeah, Rick. Yeah, I got you. I got you, dog.
I got you, babe.
Yeah, it would be funny like, if Rick okay, and Morty was out there and be like, yeah, okay, Rick. Oh, I don't know.
You think Ric Flair watches Rick and Morty?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
No way in hell that dude gives a shit.
I really
shit
think
Rick
he don't
Morty,
watch
no.
much TV is my guess.
He probably
guess.
Just hangs out with his grandkids yeah. and stuff, man.
He's like, yeah, I guess my daughter wrestles now. That's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty proud of that. Yeah. Like, Did you watch that 30 for 30 with
I haven't
with
had a
Ric
chance
Flair?
To watch that yet.
No.
It's worth it. Like, it's
an ESPN
it's
thing.
Kind of... Okay. It's kind of bittersweet, you know? Like, the whole time you're watching, you're like, oh, holy shit. Like, this guy kind of, like, lived the high life for real and...
Oh, yeah.
Kind of pissed away his family, like, mm-hmm. and he's
but
really...
But he acknowledges it.
Yeah, he's, like, really open about it and just like, holy shit, man. You like, you get to that age where you can be reflective and not right. hate yourself, and I think that's where he's at.
Because you realize it. Yeah, I probably threw a lot of shit under the bus, but, well, it made me rich.
Yeah,
so
super, super rich.
Made my family, like, okay, so, yeah, it sucked for them at the time, but everybody's better off for it, maybe.
Except for his son, who's dead.
Yeah, that sucks.
Sorry.
By and large.
Sorry, Rick.
No, he admits it, though. He admits
because he listens to this fucking show.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He admits he was a terrible father.
I guarantee you Ric Flair doesn't listen to podcasts.
God, wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, dude. Just get like a direct message. It's like,
just
stop talking about yeah. it. Yeah.
This is your cease and desist, bitch.
Holy shit.
I get a message on the aggro page, and it's like, hey, this is Ric Flair. Hashtag me too. You touched me.
You touched me.
You touched me.
When you were
me.
Putting my coat on, I felt you.
Okay, so you got to. I got one other note in my notebook
Thank
for you.
Bless you for remembering these.
Okay.
So this boils back to what? I guess it's going to be two episodes now. Three episodes when Doyle shit in a bag.
Oh, yeah.
So
at John's place.
It occurred to me while I was listening to that episode while I was delivering mail because I hate mail carriers.
Apparently. Just city ones.
Just the city ones. No, that's not true at all. And I was like...
Don't let him lie.
I'm going to delete that little part anyway.
I had a moment of clarity where it was like, the average listener has no fucking clue what Doyle looks like. So when you're trying to think of how like an average sized like human being would shit in a bag while driving in traffic, you need to understand that Doyle is a big guy. He's not like fat or nothing. He's just a stocky motherfucker.
Like he's not.
And
he's
it is
not
so
average. He is a large, large man.
Yes.
Like. So thinking about him in the cab of his freaking, like...
Like, he's tall, he's rotund, but... I love you, Doyle. You're talking shit about me, you're not here, so I'm going to talk shit about you a little bit.
Doyle once again involved in every fucking thing on the show.
No, I love him, he's funny as shit.
Fuck you, Doyle!
I was fucking cracking up, bro, that episode.
Call me a douche on the New Year's
Eve. You were reading all my things, he was like, I know that guy, and he's like, not that bad, but he sounds really douchey right here. I was like, fuck me for having an opinion. But, like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, now my brain's really swimming. Like, I have a hard time imagining, like, myself shitting in a bag while driving. How the fuck did he do it?
Like, let alone Doyle do it.
I want to know. We need a reenactment.
Oh,
maybe we'll make that part
I don't
of the
think so.
Oh, man, that
part of the Namor Aquaman challenge.
We need you to shit in this bag.
Yeah, we'll John and Doyle to shit in a bag while driving.
That definitely isn't illegal at all. Oh man, I loved that. So like, you know, Tim's a pretty average guy. Like he's, you know,
there's
average
nothing,
height,
there's
average
nothing
weight, just
special
like a normal,
about me at all.
Normal guy. You know,
looks like somebody from New York.
I'm a bigger dude. Like I'm pretty fat. I'm willing to say that. You know, I weigh over 310 pounds. Like I'm a big dude. Doyle probably doesn't weigh as much as me, but I feel like
he weighs more than
you. I feel like he takes up more physical space than me.
He's like, got tiny little pencil legs.
And he just like, it just
now
seems
we're all
like,
talking shit about it. No, Dennis.
I mean, it just seems like.
We love you.
When he sits in my car, like, we together fill up my Scion. Like, you know, we can't. I have a hard time shifting because both of us are so big that we, like, fill up my car. So
yeah,
when
you were,
I
like, rubbing my. You were rubbing my thigh last night.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It's nice.
Hey, baby. Huh. But when I think about Doyle.
Don't
somehow lifting his giant ass off the seat and shitting in a bag. Yeah, that's definitely a way better mental image than...
Maybe he didn't lift. Maybe he kind of turned.
Oh, you know what? I bet he... We should ask.
We really need to get to the bottom of this.
We need to get the logistics of the shit in the bag situation. So I asked him, like, because I was
part
there...
Part 3 on shitting in a bag.
You know, because I was at the recording and he wasn't, I asked him, how was the callback... to a joke that hadn't happened yet.
And that's what spawned it. I was like, the whole episode, I was like shitting in a bag while... just shitting in a bag in a car. It didn't come out till this joke actually happened the way the cut was that we found out he was driving while doing it. So I'm like, all right, you know, every mail carrier knows when you got to do number 2 out on a route, you make it happen somehow and it's not always the most attractive thing. Or humbling. So... I'm sitting here, I'm like, well, I've had to do it, not while driving, but I'm like, how the fuck would I do it driving? And I just could not make it happen mentally. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. Well, maybe, no, that's not going to work either. And then I'm like, but fucking Doyle did it somehow.
I bet he
so
turned.
So we really need
and
to
with,
get to
with
the end.
Accuracy,
of-
like he claims it was with accuracy.
He claims that he made it all in the bag. And that he was able to put said shitty bag somewhere, where it didn't spill over, which is also like...
Maybe he poops like a rabbit. Maybe he's pellets.
Got, yeah, maybe
I don't
little,
feel like Doyle poops like a rabbit.
A little like deer turds or something.
I know how I poop. And when I think about him, I feel like...
When you think about him while you're pooping?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Sometimes my eyes even close.
You get a boner. You get a boner when you poop?
Yeah. That is not a banana.
Yeah, on the car ride home, which Gabe ditched out on us on. But
fuck you.
He's all, fuck, I didn't think that would be such a funny story.
How could you not think that's going to be such a funny story? You shit in the back while driving.
Don't doubt, because we're talking about it again right now.
Like 2 episodes later. I think we talked about it last episode, too.
Oh, man, maybe. Fuck,
the
I don't
poop that
remember.
Went down in infamy.
Oh, man. So we probably have to take a break pretty quick to...
Yeah.
What time is it?
8:49.
Oh, so we have...
So we've got we've got an upcoming interview with a gentleman called Ben Wander.
Who put out a game... Oh, I don't remember the video game company.
You wrote it.
No, I just wrote down his name. His game is called...
Z's Company.
A Case of Distrust. Yeah, Z's Company, and I can't remember what it's called for some reason. But we're going to interview him about his game, which they like so kindly gave us like a key to like the to the
Shh, you played it
to the
Shh.
Game on Steam. No, I'm going to bring this up in the interview because I'm going to have him
Serenity Forge, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to have him talk to me about the game because I didn't get the chance to play it because every time I pulled it up.
Buddy, you just got to fake it until you make it. Why
I'm not
you always
gonna fake
why
it.
Why you always bring out the fucking the we couldn't do something?
Because I couldn't do it.
That's all right. Be like, oh, man.
I read
that part in the game was fucking amazing.
I read the comic book.
I did
that
see
you
that.
Sent us. That comic book's fun as hell.
Is it? I didn't get to read it.
Well, you gotta bring up what you couldn't do, Juan.
Well, we don't have an interview with that guy.
It's
I don't
adorable
give a fuck.
Watching
well,
YouTube bicker from the sidelines
when we come back from the interview. So
you're like the funnest not gay couple.
Funnest not gay couple. I like that.
The funnest gay couple. It's the ties, I assume.
Yeah,
I don't really know them. Are they fun?
They're fun.
Pretty fun.
They're pretty fucking funny.
They're
like,
hilarious.
In the right setting, holy shit.
I've spent a couple of nights, like when we did the beer release party and shit, and they've been there. They've always been really cool to me.
Awesome.
I don't live down there, so we don't ever get to hang out or anything.
They'd probably fit in real well on this fucking pod.
Oh, be completely
for sure. Honest. Because they're funny as shit.
Man, so do you think, you know, Jonathan's going to make it to like the old still, or you think he's going to die when Clyde finds him?
What?
The message that you played at the beginning of the show from Jonathan.
Not this one. I played it at the beginning of last show. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I was haven't like, listened to it.
I was
all the
like,
way
what are you
yet.
Talking about?
Maybe cut
well,
this
it just,
part out.
It just came out at 7 a.m. this morning.
At 7 a.m.?
Yeah. So oh, I did man. It. I stayed up until about 1 last night editing and getting it together. Nice. And then I posted it, but on Facebook you can have it, you know, post nice. Later. So I let it post this
I morning. Just listened to the message this morning.
Not, so, oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. It's funny.
Funny. He's very hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to have Jonathan on. I've asked him to be on the show like 5 times. He's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, dude, you leave us the best messages. You have got to freaking...
I couldn't find his podcast yesterday. I was going to tag him and I couldn't.
The Amp show? There's 2 A's.
Oh, fuck. Like, yeah. Maybe that's why I couldn't find it.
I think he added me on Facebook recently. I gotta double check.
He probably tried to add me.
His Twitter's ridiculous, too.
Like, dude, his little voicemails are fucking ridiculous. Dude, I love him, and I don't amazing. Even know him.
I need
to wait until you read today's, or until you listen to today's episode.
It's awesome.
When
I'll
will listen that, to the when second When will then one be one. Now?
Two weeks from now, I think.
All right.
Oh, man. Well, let's take a quick break. I'm going to re-coffee before we talk to this guy.
I need to coffee. I haven't coffeed at all.
Okay. So,
all right. Cool.
Hi, this is Aris Alvarado from Gilmore Girls. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, where everything is awesome.
Hey everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious?
Yeah. But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
We never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number 2, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, y'all come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, I have Ben Wander. He is the creator of a video game called A Case of Distrust that's being published by Serenity Forge. You guys may remember Z from Serenity Forge talking to us on the podcast at Denver Comic Con. So he was very kind to hook us up with this interview with Ben. Ben, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm tired. It's early, man. I'm only about halfway through my coffee, but that's all right. We'll try to stay awake for the interview.
No, hopefully I'll be at least engaging enough that you can maintain awake.
Yeah, right. I assume consciousness is a low bar that we can hit.
I hope that'll be all right. Yeah, I'm always trying to also hit that low bar. So,
right. Yeah, exactly.
So I have to make a confession. We got a key code to your game on Steam. I only have one computer at my house, which does have Steam on it that's capable of playing like Clicker Heroes. But for some reason, I couldn't get your game to play on my computer. And it's probably because my computer is old and sucks. So,
oh no, I'm sorry.
So,
okay.
So because I didn't have the chance to play the game, could you please explain to our listeners and myself just kind of the premise of the game and like what's going on with it? And yeah, just give us the pitch, because I want to know. It looks like the kind of game I would typically play. I just could not get it to work. I was like, God damn it, I want to play this. So
oh no, I'm sorry. Well, we can troubleshoot it after if you like.
Right on.
Well, maybe if I describe it, then you'll say, forget it, I don't care. This game sounds like it sucks, and then it'll be fine. Then we won't have to do anything. No, A Case of Distrust is a 1924 narrative mystery that takes place in San Francisco. And you're playing as private investigator Phyllis Malone, and she's kind of trying to solve a case full of deceit and deception. So that kind of translates into a half point-and-click adventure game and a half choose-your-own-narrative. So you're going around different places in San Francisco, picking up evidence, looking at clues, and then you're also talking to people, and some of those people, for a variety of reasons, aren't telling you the truth, and you have to figure out who's lying to you and why, and that uncovers a new layer of the mystery.
Nice. So it's not just your typical, like, storytelling point and click. You actually have to, like, decipher the intentions of different people as you're going through the game. There's like a level of actual like psychological variance like you would see in normal people.
right, exactly. And as a game designer, that was really hard to make clear to players that no, what this guy's telling you might not be legit. You should question him.
Nice. So The basic premise of the game is like a lot of other games that I played, you know, going back to the Nintendo era where you're, you know, picking up the clues and, you know, telling the story through like that kind of point and click storytelling. What inspired you to, you know, develop this type of game as opposed to the, you know, crazy, whatever, side-scrolling action or like, you know, massive multiplayer sort of stuff? Like what kind of drove you to this style of game?
Yeah, well, I think I just, you know, so I, what I did was 2.5 years ago, I quit my job in AAA game development. And what a lot of people will tell you is have an idea in your head before you quit your day job and sort of spin that up and run with it. And then once you feel comfortable enough, go out and do your own thing. And I followed that advice 0%. I had no idea what I was going to do. So I quit my job and went, all right, what's next? And I knew that I wanted to make a game. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I loved detective mysteries and I loved the 1920s. And there just wasn't really a game out there that combined both of those things. And I always thought there should be more historical fiction games. And I also wanted more mystery games. You know, there's Hotel Dusk, which I really loved, which I took a lot of inspiration from. There's a series called Phoenix Wright that's about, you know, it's kind of an investigation game, even though it's framed as you're a lawyer, it's still more of a mystery. But beyond those, there, you know, there seems to be one, maybe two that come out a year, but not many, especially not many well-known mystery games. So I thought, why not throw my hat into this genre and see what I can say with it?
Nice. That's cool. I like that you took not only something that you like, but something that you see there's not very much of in the market. And we're like, I think this is the goal.
Right.
I also like your 0% of advice taking. We are huge advocates of if you have an idea, just go out and fucking do it. You know, that's why we did our podcast. That's why we do what we do. And it leads to good things after a while.
It's scary. Are you kidding me? Like, it felt like I was jumping off of a bridge hoping that there was a net under me, you know?
I kind of did the same thing with my day, you know, my day job employment situation a couple, like, probably about a year ago now, where I was just like, I'm done with this. Like, I don't care that I make more money than I'm ever going to make anywhere else. I'm done with this. So,
right.
And now I'm happier, just poor.
Hey, we have a lot in common. That's nice. Great.
So, you said you had done worked for a AAA gaming company. Obviously now you work, you know, for yourself, you know, you're publishing through Serenity Forge, but nobody at Serenity Forge is like putting the screws to you to like get a job done.
Right.
You know, what besides the kind of freedom to do what you want are the differences between creating a game from the ground up and say working with a team to develop like a AAA game?
The biggest thing now is that I have a decidedly lower percentage of the time where I wear pants.
Nice.
That's more convenient. I feel that really adds to the creativity. No, definitely the biggest thing is the ownership of everything. If I look back to some of the games that I made, not all of them were good. You know, I had a hand in some really good games. Like I was a part of the team that made Dragon Age Inquisition. I also was part of the team that made X-Men Destiny. And if you haven't heard of that game, you're better off for it. And you know, throughout my career, I've made some good games and some bad games, and all of my time at those teams, I could sit there and think, all right, how could I have made this game better? And I can't really come up with a way. Like, I can't look back and say, oh, I would have done this thing different and it would have been a better game. And really, it's because there are so many decisions that come out of a 300-person team. I mean, it's very much like a film crew. You could have the boom mic operator be the best boom mic operator in the business, but if the script sucks, you're not going to want to watch the movie.
Right. Like, the animation and detail in the game may be impeccable, but if the game is dumb or has, like, terrible controls, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, really, there are a handful of people that I would say can control what those giant games look like, but even they are probably, you know, I don't want to say fighting or anything, but they're debating amongst each other. There's very rarely like a key vision holder like a director would be on a film crew. And so I think there's a lot more ownership when you jump and sort of try something on your own, when you jump off a bridge and hope that there's a net under you. Yeah, I mean, this game is all me. You know, I wrote it, I coded it, I did all the art. I had a friend do the music for it because I can't music. But for the most part, I mean, I look at it and I say, hey, is there something I don't like here? Well, I could have done that better and that would have made it better. Or conversely, and the way I'm looking at it now is I really love this game. I genuinely really like what I created and I feel really proud of it because I've been the one making all those decisions. So it's a lot more ownership. It's a lot scarier and it's a lot less pants. That's my summary.
I like the a lot less pants. That like that seems like an important selling point for you is no pants.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you're looking to quit your day job, that's the biggest advantage in my mind.
So as a video game, you know, designer, developer, creator, do you play a lot of video games still, or do you have time to play video games?
Yeah, the last couple of months I've had less time. But I've never subscribed to the idea of, oh, I make video games now, so I don't play them. I grew up loving video games. I don't think I could stop playing them if I wanted to. So I'm normally pretty up to speed and up to date on stuff. I think I would hope. Now you're going to ask me some question about a game that came out a week ago and I'm not going to know anything.
No, I don't know anything about video games. Like hey, I play some video games. I have like, I think I've talked about it on the show a few times that I have very specific tastes in games. I like racing simulation games and role-playing games and like basically anything where I don't have to point and shoot with any kind of accuracy because I'm terrible at that. So everything has to be very simple and slow moving or I don't enjoy it.
Right.
No, but
right.
What I was going to ask actually is what video games, you know, recently that you've played, have you been really, really, wow, this is like a really cool thing. Like, what have you been impressed with?
Yeah. I always like it when a game takes something and sort of spins it in a different way. One of my favorite games last year was What Remains of Edith Finch, which is part of a genre that some people disparagingly call a walking simulator. Which basically means that there is very little mechanic there. If you try to break down the mechanics of that game, it's you walk into a room and you point at a bunch of things and then you walk out of the room. But the interesting part of these types of games is the exploration that they allow the player to have on their own and to sort of grow and explore and find out who these characters are at their own pace with their own sort of ideals of, I want to see who this character is. I don't care as much about that character. What Remains of Edith Finch was just really interesting because it combined that with essentially a disparate mini game collection. So the premise of the game is you have this ancient family home that you haven't really seen before, and you're walking through the home, and all of the different rooms in there represent the room of an old relative of yours. And this house is kind of a magical house. It you see it from the outside, and it's teetering almost like, you know, the Weasley's house in Harry Potter or something. And you're climbing up this house filled with books and knickknacks and things, and every different room you go to is a different story, and you play a completely different game in each room you go to explore. And I just thought that was really fascinating and a really cool way to tell a story while also incorporating a bunch of different mechanics. I mean, it must have been extremely hard to make, you know, they essentially made like 9 different games or whatever.
Right.
But I had a really good time with that. And I loved the overall connective tissue that wrapped the whole thing.
Growing up playing games like Myst and stuff like that sounds really appealing to me. Like that kind of like storytelling being the focus of the game is definitely something that I really appreciate. Like it's a big part of why I wanted to play your game, is because I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like the kind of thing that I typically play. We had a guy on our year in special, one of our Patreon supporters, who's, you know, instead of picking a comic because he doesn't read comics, he picked a video game, and he talked about this game called Doki Doki, which sounded exactly the same, like that kind of storytelling, you know. Yeah, it's mostly point and click or like going from place to place, but it's about the story. And that's the kind of game that really, truly appeals to me. So,
yeah, me too. And I was just talking to somebody else, and this kind of idea comes up all the time when talking about video games of, are these things really games? And my answer to that is, I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of been my feeling as time goes on. Like I try not to think of things like this as necessarily having to be a video game, because that means in a lot of people's minds, it has to be action packed. It has to be button mashing. It has to be this and that. And for me, it's just another piece of entertainment. Like I want to play, you know, Final Fantasy 15 because I want to know what the story is. Yeah, there's mechanics and fighting and all that stuff in the game, but more than anything, I'm interested in the entertainment value of the storyline. And for me, that's what's essential to a video game. I know it's not to everybody else. Like my son's a huge like Call of Duty fan, and I'll ask him, well, what's it about? Oh, you just shoot stuff.
Yeah. Like right.
That sounds dumb. when you're looking at, you know, developing your own games, you know, you talked about how I like this kind of game. I don't see it in the market. You know, is that kind of going to be your approach going forward? Just effectively developing the game that isn't there that you want to play?
Yeah, so my first step going forward is sleep. Oh. I need that the most of anything right now.
Sorry we woke you up so early then.
Oh, no, I just mean, yeah, well, no, that's fine. I meant more, I haven't really slept the last 2 months, so before anything, I'm just going to go sleep for a very long time. Yeah, maybe that might be a good way to approach it. That's kind of how I try to approach my stories as well. A lot of video games have this idea of you have to be the hero. You have to, you know, change some very vital, important aspect of some society, whether that's a real society or one that we've made up. I typically like to hear stories or read stories or see stories or even play stories about characters that don't matter as much. And that might sound boring, but it actually, to me, is more interesting because these people are ordinary people like you and me, but there's something special about each and every one of them. And, you know, if I think I used this metaphor the other day of if a Case of Distrust does really well, it sells a million copies, or if just my mom buys it, it won't affect who's president tomorrow.
Unfortunately.
I wish it would. I wish that I had that power, you know, if only. but it won't. And so, and in that sense, I mean, to me, we're all sort of, or, you know, the vast majority of us, unless the former presidents are playing my video game, they're all going to be, you know, ordinary people whose lives, I mean, don't really have that big of an impact, but that doesn't make them any less interesting. If anything, that makes them more real, more relatable. And that's sort of the story that I try to tell with my game. Now, I say that, and if every game was about that, then I'd go make a game about a hero, you know? So I think it's just, like you said, maybe it's looking at what's out there and what appeals to me and seeing if there's a cross-section between what's missing and what I like.
So with a case for distrust, when you're kind of like out in the public advertising it, you know, pushing it, I assume you go to conventions and do interviews and things like that. What's kind of the main hook that you use to like bring people into trying out the game?
I think a really big thing that might be underrated by a lot of game designers is having a unique art style. If you see a case of distrust, it doesn't look like any other game. It's actually inspired outside of games. It's inspired by a graphic designer who did a lot of film posters and a lot of intro credits. His name is Saul Bass. He did like the Vertigo movie poster. He did a bunch of posters for Alfred Hitchcock. He did the intros to a whole ton of different things. And I just, you know, I happened upon this art style and went, wow, this is fantastic. How is nobody using this in games? And I think that's what draws people in initially. And to me, what makes video games separate from other types of games like a board game or, you know, chess or something is the video part. And I sort of strive to make an art style that connects with people that they haven't seen before but could be interesting in a different way. So I think that's what really attracts people when they just see the poster of the game. I don't have to say anything. I just shut up and they go, oh, cool. What is this?
Nice.
that helps a lot for sure.
That's really cool. Like having that visual distinction is something that definitely can draw people in. Like, you know, I defer to my son's opinion of video games like way too often, I think, but when I bring up a new game that he hasn't seen me play before and he looks at it, he has this very specific adjective for something that he feels is different and interesting. He always goes, oh, that game's beautiful, Dad. I was like, yeah,
oh, nice.
It's really cool. You know, this is a really cool looking game. And he'll just maintain that it's beautiful. But that's his specific adjective for this video game looks really cool and different. And that's one of the things that draws him to games a lot of the times is if it looks good enough, he'll play it, like no matter what. I even convinced him to play a little Gran Turismo with me by showing it to him.
just how pretty it looks. Yeah, that game actually looks really pretty.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like looking at a real car sometimes. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
you're making me miss my racing wheel. I need to get that back out here. That's somewhere in my parents' garage.
My my friend Steve at one point had like a whole chair pedal racing wheel set up.
Oh, no way. Like, I'm jealous. Yes. Yeah.
Which actually made the game intensely harder because you actually have to drive like you can drive. So,
oh, yeah. I went to an arcade and tried that at one point and completely failed. They had Project Cars or something running on six different setups in a row. And me and my friends all got in like Indy cars. And the first thing I did was spin out.
Yeah. I probably would have just gone straight forward into the wall. So.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So what is it about the era that you placed your game in that really kind of drew you in? Like, is there something just about the visual aesthetic or the way people were in the time period? Like, what made you pick that era for your game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what initially made the time period appealing to me was the different gray areas in that era. This was a time of prohibition where a lot of people didn't agree with it. And so you had a bunch of people breaking the law that, you know, were ordinary people. And then you had other people facilitating that, which, you know, turned into organized crime and gangsterism. You had a lot of law enforcement who disagreed with the law. And so they would turn a blind eye and some of them would make a profit because of it. And so it's a really interesting era of there's nobody really bad and nobody really good. And I thought that was just really fascinating. And then I was looking into it more, and I realized that it's what I like to say is it's far enough away that it's foreign for us, but it's close enough that a lot of the themes still tie back, and you can still pull really interesting motifs from that period that still resonate today. And so it, just keeping on the idea of prohibition, I mean, the prohibition of alcohol and our current prohibition of marijuana are pretty easily related. And I don't have to be very heavy-handed with my writing to let players make that connection. It's pretty obvious from the get-go that, whoa, every citizen here drinks alcohol and they want alcohol to be legal. Why isn't it? You know, even the characters who might not drink still think it's ridiculous that, you know, that we have to hide all of this stuff.
Right.
And so it's really easy to make sort of connections like that. And that sort of exists with technology of the era that was the time period where the radio first came around. So there was this whole new idea of broadcasting and of communication that we didn't have before. There was the idea of the automobile. So people were getting around in interesting and new and faster ways, which also led to things like the automobile became the place where you would make out with your lover when you were in high school. And that never happened before. You never had this sort of secluded area where you could go and just be alone when you were some rebellious teen. And that led to a lot more rebellion. That led to flappers and dance halls and jazz music. And so it really was the first era of youth rebellion in a way that we hadn't seen before. And so there's a lot of really interesting things that you can pull from that period that still resonate today.
I love the concept that, like, at one point jazz music was like evil, you know,
Devil. Exactly.
And now if I were to run up to one of my friends and yell jazz hands, we would all die laughing. Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. Someone was asking me about, there's this wonderful, beautiful game called Cuphead that kind of takes
ridiculously fun and
it looks beautiful. Exactly. Yeah. That game takes place, well, it's based on 1950s and 40s cartoons. And by then that music became so mainstream that you hear a lot of bebop and jazz and things like that in those era of cartoons. And so someone was asking me, oh, does your game take place in the 40s and 50s? I'm like, no, my game takes place in the 20s when that music was underground and very taboo and weird, not when it was in children's cartoons, you know?
Right. Well, I don't know. Some of those cartoons from like that pre-code era, they were not children's cartoons.
Yeah, that's fair too. Sure. Sure.
So do you feel that like that sense of like moral ambiguity and like the connections to like contemporary culture enhance the gameplay in your game?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I guess I'll let players make that decision. But that's for sure the reason that I set it here. And, you know, again, moral gray areas and kind of having ordinary people and things like that make, to me, a story more interesting than a black and white, purely good versus evil type of scenario. So the 20s really lent itself to having a place to tell a story like that.
So I know that the game that I got, it's in beta still, correct?
I guess. I mean, it's not released yet, but
okay,
actually,
that's kind of what I was going for. So, the release date for the game officially is February, correct?
Yeah. February 8th.
Okay.
We have a day now.
So I think this episode will come out. I got to think in 2 weeks. So yes, this episode will come out after your game has released. So
perfect.
How will people be able to go find your game? And they won't have the same problems I had. Like, I guarantee you it's just because my computer's crappy. So how will people be able to go find your game?
Yeah, so you can find it for Mac or PC and just on any online game store. Probably the biggest that people know is Steam. You can also get it on GameJolt or itch.io or Humble or Good Old Games or wherever Serenity Forge decides to publish it.
Right.
Steam, itch, GameJolt, standard places.
And where can people find you, like your official online presence, to see what kind of shenanigans you get up to when you decide to be done with your nap and work on something else?
Yeah, sure. So my website is thewanderingben.com. And I'm also on Twitter at TheWanderingBen. So those are probably the best places to come and find me and see what I'm up to when I start wearing pants again.
Nice. Well, I mean, you don't have to wear pants just when you go in public, really.
You know what? You don't have to wear pants in public either.
You just go to jail for it.
Right.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for being on our show. We really appreciate it. I will figure out a way to play your game because it actually sounds exactly like the kind of video game I play. So,
oh, that's really fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Cullen Bunn, the writer of Harrow County, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
We're happy to have you with us this evening and want you to enjoy every minute of your stay here.
Listen to me. Please listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, then the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
Are you ready to enter the sci-fi double feature drive-in? Every month we hold a special double feature with a very interesting theme thought up by your host, the conspiracy-loving Elisa, and yours truly, Jarrett, the kaiju man Weglin. We discuss giant monsters, little monsters, genetic abominations, robots gone awry, aliens coming to Earth, cryptids, and anything in between. So join us at the sci-fi double feature drive-in podcast every first and third Thursday of the month, and don't forget to stop by our snack bar first.
And then when I get really into it,
it's almost as bad as the thing I showed Ashen.
And we're back. Tried to sneak it in. I saw.
That's all right.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bud. Buddy.
You sound real sexy in these headphones, man.
Do I?
Yeah, you sound like super bassy.
Yeah?
Super bassy?
Do the NPR thing again.
Mm. On today's episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box, we're going to be talking about mostly dicks and some fart jokes.
Damn, I got goosebumps.
I missed my calling. I could have been the worst NPR host.
Right?
Oh, man. So let's talk about our miscellaneous bullshits. I have notes. Do you have notes?
Barely.
Yeah. Do you have notes?
I've been busy. Do I have notes? This week has been super busy at work, so I haven't been paying attention to much.
Good. That's good.
I did 3 half car deals yesterday, so
all
I was at work until about 8:30.
All of my news stuff is on my phone.
Hashtag Juan sells cars.
So
Juan sells cars.
Yeah, Juan does sell cars. So I only have the list of things that I enjoyed this week, as opposed to any news whatsoever.
Hey, me too. I watched Star Trek Discovery.
You watched Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah, that too.
You watch all of it, though?
Yeah.
I think I've seen like the first 4 episodes.
I actually really enjoy it.
It's good.
It's different. That's why I like it.
The Klingons
are cool. I like it because it doesn't remind me of Star Trek.
It reminds me enough of Star Trek to understand and enjoy that it's in the same universe.
Right.
But it's not so much like Star Trek that I'm like, this is
boring.
We've watched this before.
Yeah, this is horrible.
I like the Klingons. That's probably my favorite thing about it.
There's some cool twists.
Intense as fuck.
There's some cool twists that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me that the Klingons feel more like vampires now or something to that effect.
They do have kind of crazy teeth.
I thought Klingons always had crazy teeth.
But they're like really crazy now. And the way they talk is like they speak Klingon. But it seems like there's some kind of like audio overlay so that their voice actually sounds not like a human speaking Klingon.
It does sound cool.
It sounds different.
It sounds cool.
Really cool.
I like it. It makes me want to learn to speak Klingon.
Like the bat-like voice modulation.
Just like I'm way okay with all aspects of nerd culture, but the I want to learn Klingon.
I want to learn Klingon now.
That step above where I will call you nerd. Nerd.
I'll call you something in Klingon, asshole.
Fat Mexican Hulk.
One of my buddies'
wives. These people don't know what that even means.
I know.
J.R. Tolkien. It's crazy.
What's that?
One of my buddies' wives speaks Elvish from the Tolkien books.
The alphabets and shit in them when they first came out.
That's that same level of ultra nerd that's just a little too much for me.
I mean, like, it's cool, I guess, but I'm like, holy shit.
I'm impressed by it, but also kind of like, it's cool if we talk about Lord of the Rings, but that's not all I want to talk about.
Yeah. You don't have to talk about Lord of the Rings speaking Elven.
If somebody took the time to speak and learn Elvish from Lord of the Rings, that's all they want to talk about.
Nah.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to talk about The Hobbit.
Have you met some... Touché.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
I approve.
God, you guys are dumb.
You broke him.
I know. I don't know what to say.
Me
I
mean, neither.
I don't have any segues into anything. I read comic books.
I read a lot of comic books right, in the last
about,
year.
I read a bunch too. Let's hear about
I
yours.
Don't remember which ones.
Oh,
I
you fucking asshole.
I caught up with Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, nice.
That's fucking good. There's a new like segue where Archie is not Archie. Jughead's a werewolf now, and I read the first one. I have the other one, but I haven't read it yet. But that one was kind of weird.
They're all really weird. Yeah, like, they're super dark and intense.
The last Afterlife I read was with Josie and the Pussycats and talking about how they've been vampires for hundreds of years. So
nice.
It has nothing to do with Archie at all, but it's just so weird.
It's gone so completely off the rails at this point that it just doesn't matter.
I love
matter.
It. I yeah. love it. It's they're one some of my favorite books to read. I caught up on. I guess I didn't catch up because there's nothing linear about it. But I read a bunch of Ash versus Evil Dead stuff too, and they're always fun to read no matter what.
And they're usually like 2 or 3 issue like little mini episodes.
Yeah,
right?
But a lot of what's coming out is just a one shot. But
yeah, that's what
there
I'm
is.
Saying.
There like is one storyline that has a lot of issues out. But other than that, they're all like fucking Ash versus zombie Elvis or some bullshit like that. Like there was one where he was in hell and he had to kill Hitler and Mussolini again. And like it was just really weird. It's just fucking funny. Like I really enjoy. I like horror books. I caught up to Harrow County.
Nice.
As much as I have. I don't know if I'm all the way caught up yet, but that's ending. The news of that is ending soon was kind of sad.
Yeah,
I was not ready for that to happen.
It's going to be probably like my third collection of books that I bought like issue 1 and collected all the way to the end. Which is kind of cool. Like, it's a bummer that it's going to be over, but it's kind of cool to me that I was like, yeah, I started this. I enjoyed it. I held on to it till it was all the way done.
I think
like,
I did too.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good book. I caught up on a few books too. Finally got the chance to read Murder Ballads, which is the book that Chris Hunt worked on with a couple other guys.
Chris Cunt?
Chris Hunt. Not Chris Cunt. Did I say Chris Cunt?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like Chris could beat the shit out of me like at will. But it's cool. Like it's the book that he worked on.
I'm gonna take you away from this. I'm sorry. So he ended up not sending any pics for the New Year's thing.
Right.
Which is fine. But I sent him an email and I was like, hey, you did it last year. You came on, you recorded with us. And he's like, and the email I got was, remind me about this tomorrow. And I'm imagining because I'm imagining him typing this up. And he's like, remind me about this tomorrow. I want to participate, but right now I'm stone cold drunk. I was like, okay, I can do that.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just fucking funny.
I hope that he goes to San Diego this year because he's one of the people that
I think he'll be there. I think he goes every year.
Yeah, he makes it seem like. But I know he posted on his Instagram that he started working on Carver Part 2, which I'm fucking super stoked about. Spoiler alert, favorite comic of the year next year. But
I wonder if he ever worked with what's her name? We had her on the show.
Grindhouse.
Yes.
You're both looking at me like I'm going to fucking remember.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember.
The one about the kids.
Fuck,
in the
I
bus
can't remember. We led them to each other on Twitter, though.
Yeah. Crap.
That's going to drive me nuts.
I'll have to look it up later. Look up.
One of the listeners, either Mike or John, still.
We'll remember it at some point.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like
so
cursing right now.
the fuck you!
It's this.
It's
you
DeCampi.
Idiots.
That's who it is.
Oh, Alex DeCampi.
Alex DeCampi.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom! Take that, John Clyde Still.
From the radio show.
From
time
the radio
hour.
Show time hour. Bullshit.
Makes me
dick.
Makes me so happy that you still don't know his real name.
Oh, I know. It's funny.
I hate you. You know that?
Anyway, so Murder Ballads is the book that he worked on with Dan Auerbach.
Murder Ballads was the book that he gave me?
Yes, Murder Ballads is the book that he gave me when I bought it on Amazon. It's the book that he worked on with Dan Auerbach that has like a blues soundtrack to go with the comic. And
that's pretty cool.
Like, honestly, really, really great book. Awesome music. Just a really enjoyable experience. Now the only Chris Hunt book that I don't have is his weird bio book about Paul Oakenfold that somebody, I think, hired him to draw that I still want to read because I kind of like Paul Oakenfold a little bit.
I don't know who that is.
He's like a trance DJ.
Okay.
Like from the 90s. He was really popular in the 90s.
In the 90s?
I feel like I'm the only person paying attention to anything right
now. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Murder Ballads was great.
I don't know who Paul Oakenfold is.
Murder Ballads was great.
What's it about?
It is about this guy that is on his way to California. His wife is about to leave him because he's kind of like a drug addict.
Oh, this sounds fun.
Burnout music producer, right? And they're staying the night in the hotel room. He sneaks out of the house to go get a beer or out of the hotel to go get a beer. And he stumbles upon this really great band in the bar. And he's like, if I sign those guys and record those guys in the hometown of this like old school music producer and get him to help, I can make a hit without anybody's help. You know, I just got to get her on board. We got to find the money. And just like everything goes Quentin Tarantino movie past that. Like, you know, there's murder, there's gunplay, there's craziness. It's just
people sucking dicks.
There's a lot less sucking dicks than you would expect. Oh, fine, so
fine. Weird.
But it's a cool like kinda murder mystery, you know, kind of crime noir gritty story.
But
you know?
No dick sucking.
No dick sucking. Yeah. Sorry. Fuck. Not
all right, I'm not interested anymore.
Not your cup of tea, I know. I know
you're out.
I know you're mostly only interested with that.
Yeah. You saw how many Pornhub tabs I had open. Yeah.
Ashton was ready to send a tit pic too.
Nah, she's good. I'm good on those.
She's like, oh shit, he's gonna have Gabe's phone. Oh fuck.
Read a no, Dark Horse book.
That not that fucking bad, dude. You make it sound like she's a fiend for sending them. I just got to get another out.
I don't want to say nothing, that if I had tits, I'd probably want to send them to everybody.
That's the difference between men and women, though. Is they have them, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to save that for somebody that gives a shit about
right,
it.
Right.
We're like, quick, let me take a picture of my dick and send it to everyone
no,
I know.
But see, there's only like one or two angles you can really get a picture of that from.
There are so, zero there are, angles yeah. that I can get a picture of it from.
Microscope.
Let's find that electron microscope,
wow,
guys.
Wow.
I went looking. It's really hard to find.
The electron microscope?
Both. Electron microscopes, a lot more uncommon than you would think.
Yeah, really. Strange how hard they are to find.
Read this Dark Horse book called Negative Space that is about...
Your dick?
No, actually has significantly less dick sucking in it than you would expect as well.
Damn.
It's about...
You're not reading very fun books.
Wait till you hear the premise of this one. It's about this guy, he's going to commit suicide, okay?
Boring.
And he's a writer, but he's hung up on his suicide note.
He's hung?
Okay. He has writer's
and
block.
And we're back. And
he has writer's block and he can't manage
writer's
to
cock?
Write his suicide note. Oh, man. Nobody's ever going to read this comic, and they really should, because you guys are dick faces.
All right, guys, for real. Read this weird, boring book that doesn't have any dick faces.
No, this is a totally different book. Juan's not even on the same page.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, so he's hung up on his suicide note. He can't get it written because he has writer's block, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that there's an organization that collects, like, those artifacts of people's suffering. So, like, when Van Gogh cuts his ear off, they collect the ear, okay?
Oh, they collect his penis.
And they take it down into the bottom of the ocean where there's a race of alien creatures, like these weird, like, they just have giant mouths with, like, pointy teeth in them. They're crazy looking. But there's this race of creatures that feeds off of human suffering. And they have a museum of all these relics of human suffering, okay? this guy is a famous enough writer that they need his note to prevent those creatures from attacking the surface. And so he's trying to fight against this organization by forcing himself to be happy. Oh no, it's really interesting because he's trying to prevent this.
Sounds interesting.
He's trying to prevent this like apocalypse through his emotions, and it ends up being like this really interesting like meditation on like suicide and depression and stuff like that. It's really cool book, Negative Space. Nice. Really crazy Negative looking space. Art. Just
who draws it?
I could not tell you off the top of my head.
This is a Dark Horse book?
It is a Dark Horse book. It's like I think it's like a 4-issue mini, but I read it in trade.
Way to go, Dark Horse.
Yeah, it was good. It was cool. I was surprised that it was a Dark Horse book because it felt so much like...
Because it wasn't Aliens or Predator?
And it felt... Well, it just felt so much like something Image would put out.
Yeah, you know? That does sound very imagey.
Yeah. Imagey? I dug it. Red Lock and Key, volumes 1-3 this week. You got to read those.
I haven't read it at all, but I hear it's good.
Joe Hill, Stephen King's kid. Gabriel Rodriguez, I want to say is
his Whose kid?
Huh?
Whose kid?
Stephen King.
Oh, okay.
Isn't Joe Hill? I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He wrote Horns and Heart-Shaped Box. Yeah, sure. That's Stephen King's kid. Okay. I'm like 90% sure that's Stephen King.
You're the literary man. I just read what people... toss my way and like, hey, this is good.
Gabriel Rodriguez has like this super clean, like really awesome looking style of art that goes really well with the story. It's just, I mean, have you read Lock and Key before?
No.
Okay. And I know Juan hasn't.
No.
So the idea is there's this family. They have this, they own this house called the Key House. Okay. The dad gets killed at the very beginning of the book. And when he dies, they move back to the Key House, okay? There's these keys that open different doors that do crazy things, okay? They're magical and, you know, they're magical and do all sorts of insane things. The first one you discover, or the characters discover, is called the Ghost Key. And if you put it in this one door and unlock the door and walk through the door, your body drops to the ground dead. And your ghost flies out of it, and you can fly around the grounds of the house, okay?
Okay.
Can I come back to life?
Yeah, you just go back through the door, and you go back into your body.
That sounds like an awful fucking thing.
Yeah, it could go poorly. But
Shit, I died.
So they're discovering, they're discovering all these secret keys that do all these different things, and there's a creature or a person that is familiar with the keys from the past that is also trying to collect the keys. So it's like the family versus like this evil force that's trying to accomplish something that by the time you get to volume 3, you know, you don't know yet. I mean, it gets there by volume 6 when it's done, but it's super fascinating.
This doesn't sound good, but I've heard it's really good.
It is really good. It's
weird.
It's genuinely one of the few horror books that I've read where I was like, wow, that's actually like really creepy. Like, you know, a lot of the time horror books are just gory
right.
or like just over the top and kind of campy. But this one takes itself fairly seriously and it's
love
creepy.
Horror books.
It sounds super imagey too, but it came out on IDW.
That's where my head was going right now.
It came out on IDW, which was really surprising to me.
That
so
one.
Boom.
No, I actually...
Let me reel that back in.
It actually gets a lot of good reviews. So,
yeah. Marika, it's like one of Marika's favorite books.
Nice.
And like to the point where she wants to get one of the keys like tattooed. There's a key that when you stick it in the back of your head and unlock it, your head opens up.
Oh,
and
shit.
You can like see all of your memories and thoughts as like little anthropomorphized characters. Or if you want to like... immediately learn something, you can just take the book and like put it in your head and shut your head.
Nice.
And then you have the information.
I want to do that.
Yeah, I would like to do that as well.
Be amazing.
But
sounds
she
like
wants to get
the Matrix.
She wants to get the head key tattooed like on the back of her head.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
I read a shit ton of Darth Vader.
Yeah,
that's always good. I really like Darth. I don't know why I really like Darth Vader though. The art's nothing fancy or crazy. I don't know. It just is cool.
Just Star Wars.
Yeah, it's well, and then it's cool because you don't get a lot of shit from the dark side, I guess, is how you would say that.
From
the villainous perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's cool because the Emperor is trying to underhandedly have somebody replace Darth Vader, and Darth Vader's trying to replace the Emperor, and there's a lot of cool shit and a lot of other different weird bad guys that are cool. It's like it. I enjoyed Darth Vader.
It's super
a lot.
Political, like episode two. Or episode one, I mean.
Kill yourself.
Because that's what kids want.
Politics?
Like 20 minutes of Senate debate.
What was the guy saying? Go get in a fire.
Go get in a fire. Yeah, that is what Steve says.
Yeah, Steve.
Go jump in a fire.
We're getting his name right now.
What did that guy say?
Steve, Tim doesn't like you.
God, don't. I don't want to be in this three-way of podcast angst.
You don't want to be in the three-way?
We're not with them.
Oh, that's true.
yeah, that's a lot of man. That's a lot of white bread in between two slices of wheat.
Yeah. I'm like the Oreo in that situation. Yeah. I'm the white stuff.
You're going to get a lot of white stuff on you.
One more comic book that I read that I specifically want to talk about. We got sent this by the creators. It's a comic called Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia. They only sent us the first issue, which sucks because I want to read like all of it.
He reached out to me. I don't know. I never know if people are like, oh, hey, it looks like that guy tweets a lot about things, and so we should send him our book. Or if they're like, oh, hey, we listened to this show, we should send him our book. Well, you know what I mean?
You should tweet him back and ask.
I will. We've been emailing too.
And I definitely would like to talk to him on the show. But premise of the book is that there is a planet of professional wrestlers, okay, that are sending out, you know, satellites to pick up transmissions from other planets. And a United States professional wrestler declares himself the champion of the galaxy, the galactic champion. He makes the belt out of a pizza box from Galaxy Pizza. It's like all taped together. He's like, I'm the galactic champion. And that signal goes out into space. And then next thing you see is the courtroom of the High King. And this one, you know, kind of ultimate muscle looking guy is like, Your Highness, someone else has declared himself galactic champion. And the guy turns around and says, only I am the galactic champion. Manifest destiny. And that's the end of the first issue. But it's... I fucking love the premise. Intergalactic wrestling.
Sounds right up your alley.
Dude, I love Ultimate Muscle. Like, that was one of my favorite cartoons, and that is literally exactly what that shit is about.
Funny, because it sounds like your favorite porn, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate Muscle.
I mean, I'm mostly a fan of Ultimate Muscle 9. Like,
there's a lot of dick sucking in that book.
Like, 1 through 8, they're all right, but...
Starts to get a little repetitive.
That mason jar scene.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in your brain now. Take that.
No, because that's a joke that John and I have, a mason jar full of semen. I don't remember what the hell the joke was about, but that was a thing.
What's it called?
Planet? Oh, Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia. So, I don't know. It's good. It's a really good comic book. I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. You read comic books anymore, Tim?
I started reading Doomsday Clock, but yeah. I've only read issue one, and issue two and three are sitting in my pile.
Ed, I want to finish that because he sent it to us. I want to make sure we mention him. It's at Ed Q Nell on Twitter, KUEHNEL, or you can find him on Danforth Mantooth Hot Tub Inspector. That's his long name.
Jesus. Is he a porn star?
And maybe. I think I tagged the artist of it on Instagram
this
morning.
Yes.
It's a fun book.
Good. I need to read it. I need to read that. Fanbase Press sent me all of Kinsey that I need to fucking catch up on. And I need to catch up on the second volume of Penguins versus Possums because I fucking love that book.
Shout out to Fanbase for following Aggravated Artist on Instagram.
Nice. There you go. They're cool people. And I love Penguins. It's like one of the coolest books can't get anywhere.
It's so bizarre and hilarious. Yeah.
It's cool. But I want to read this one. I didn't know. I'm really weird, especially when I don't have a lot of time. Like in the day, he tweeted us and he's like, "Hey, can I send you my book?" I was like, "Yeah, just send it to me. Email me here." And I didn't know that it was a wrestling book until like a day later, and I was like, "Oh shit, I need to read this."
Yeah, and it's hilarious. It's a ton of fun. Like I really, really enjoyed it to the point where when it got to the end of the PDF and I realized one issue was in there, I was like, "Son of a bitch!" Like, and then I look at his Instagram page and he's like, "Drawn issue 2." I'm like, "Son of a bitch!" Like,
you know, at that point, he's got like on average, like another couple months.
Oh yeah, easy. Like, I'm looking at 2 to 3 months between every issue. I'm like, "God, no! Send this to me when you have the whole 6-issue trade out so I can enjoy it." Which I enjoyed it anyways, but it's
so
a blast.
Ed, thank you for sending it. Sounds like Gabe loved it.
And I really want to get you on the show, so I'll make sure Juan reaches out to you, unlike the last three people that I've sent.
I just haven't had time. I told you that. You shit. I told just you that, shit. You son of a bitch. He's going to listen to this and like, "Oh shit, who did I give my fucking comic book to?"
Oh no.
Wait, those guys?
It's 32 pages, though.
It's a lot of book. It's a solid book. Like, it's a really good book.
Is it a giant size book? No, giant size is 64 pages.
It took up my whole screen.
That's not what I'm talking about.
It's the most retarded sentence I've heard you say. Sorry, what was Tom Segura say? Can't say retarded anymore. You have to say something else.
That's really unintelligent or something like that. Yeah,
that was a very unintelligent statement.
It's a tiny person, you know, with the hands.
No idea what you guys are talking about. Thank you, Ed. We love your book.
You have to go on Netflix. On Netflix, this stand-up comedian named Tom Segura has a special called Disgraceful, which he recorded at the Paramount in Denver, Colorado.
Hell yeah.
And it is genuinely one of the funniest things I've watched in a while.
Holy shit.
It was hilarious.
He speaks to me. His comedy really speaks to me.
His comedy is how I feel most of the time.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Do you have anything else? Watching movies or anything? Because I got a few more.
I did watch the movie that we were supposed to watch, but...
Well, yeah, that's the next segment.
No, I know. I mean, Brie Larson, did you see her, the colors and all that shit that
everybody's
freaked out
Twitter pated because her costume doesn't look exactly the way it looks in the comics.
Well, I heard, so the one article.
That's not what I've heard about it, but you guys go first.
Why?
So Brie Larson has like a startling lack of ass. Apparently that's it. People are complaining
that's a stupid thing to be worked up about.
Four of like the six articles that I've seen about everyone's like, "Oh, the costume's weird and teal." Yeah, that I've seen it. But like a lot of the other groups, it's like, "What? Where's the butt? She's got a white girl booty. It's all flat." Like,
so
I'm like, I'm like, why is that? Why does that matter if the costume's teal?
how dare
if
that,
it was red, she would have a nice ass.
How dare that person dressed up as a fictional character look like a regular ass human being?
I'm like, come on, guys, come on. But why is that what you're complaining about? I don't care about the butt. I want the costume to look decent.
So the costume, from what I've read, is that Captain Marvel was a male at some point, and that it had to do with the Kree, that his colors at the beginning of some point, because I've never read Captain Marvel,
right.
So
he
I don't
had
know.
The little planet
he had a green.
And the white
it
costume
was green.
With like green stuff.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's what Absolutely. It is supposed to be. So I've never read Captain Marvel, but I don't understand.
It's people turning into a hot mess of like Twitter patient over bullshit, like always. Like, who cares?
On Twitter?
Well, supposedly I've seen the art. There's I don't fucking know shit about Miss Marvel at all, but
Captain Marvel,
whatever.
There's a difference.
Oh my god,
there's a difference.
Oh god.
I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying there's art about
Michael
her.
Kirk is shitting his pants that you said Miss Marvel instead of Captain Marvel. So I'm covering our bases.
Or Captain
Tim.
Planet.
Ever Captain Planet?
Oh.
Turn you into a tree, motherfucker. But there is art
he
of
was
her
green too.
In a teal like suit that looks kind of like
similar
the
yeah.
one from that, and you know the red, white, or the red, blue, and gold with the star on the chest.
I almost had to correct you again.
Oh my god! don't fucking care. I just want the movie to be good.
I don't care either. I want the movie to be enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, just cool. It looks cool.
She's not even the Marvel that I want. I would rather have Miss Marvel and have like teenage Kamala Khan with big hands beating the crap out of people.
So you said something last night that I don't know. Like I haven't seen anything about this, but it makes sense. You mentioned something about a four-hour Black Panther cut.
Yeah. So supposedly there was an article. I think BET posted the original.
Of course they did.
Wow.
Why you gotta be racist?
Wow.
Doyle, ladies and gentlemen.
Doyle Daniels on Facebook.
But
he just snuck in to say that and then went and shit in a bag.
Supposedly, there's this 4-hour cut of Black Panther, and I'm all about that.
Yeah, I would watch it.
I will not do shit for a day to go see a 4-hour Black Panther movie.
It looks fucking
That movie's going to make a fucking insane amount of money.
Dude, it looks good.
Dude,
there's a dude who has looks like he has scales, and it fucking creeps me out. I don't know why.
Killmonger.
Nice. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
It gives me just talking about it. It reminds me of those pictures that just have the patterns on things, and it freaks me the fuck out. It gives me goosebumps. I don't know why.
Do you
it's
have
really
that phobia
weird.
Where you're like,
I don't know if I do, but it fucking freaks me out.
I guess we'll find out when I like throw a plaid blanket over his face just to see what happens.
It's not patterns. It's like I don't know. It's like.
Are you talking about like the magic eye pictures where it just looks like static, but if you stare at it long enough, it comes out of the picture?
And you're like, oh, a sailboat.
No, I'll
show you. It's not a sailboat, it's a schooner.
Actually, what you guys are talking about is a phobia of like seeing something.
You gotta be actually by the mic if you're gonna talk.
I know what you guys are talking about. It's a phobia of seeing something that looks like a person, but it's not.
So this
quite
is
a
my.
Person.
This is what.
Oh, the
me
whole
out.
One.
Yeah, it gives me. Look, yeah. It's giving me goosebumps just looking at it.
Let me see it.
Like it's fucking. They're weird.
Where things have holes in them.
Oh. Like the weird pattern looking thing. Ugh, it just creeps me out.
And
I feel
what
like
you're
there's
talking
bugs
about.
That's gonna like creep.
You literally
come out
just
of there.
Google weird hole pattern.
Yeah.
That could have led you to some really terrifying places.
Ugh.
No,
ugh,
I know.
Look. Yeah.
It's gross. I get it. Let's keep looking at pictures of it, please.
I'm so, Sawan has a thing with holes.
Kukui.
But yeah, so supposedly there's a 4-hour cut of Black Panther.
I would kill to see that.
I would love to fucking see something like that. That sounds amazing.
I like long movies when I have the time to watch them.
Yeah.
Which is never.
Yes. Speaking of movies, though. Watch Jumanji.
Oh, it's funny.
Fucking hilarious.
It's made so much money.
Jack Black as a teenage girl. Brilliant casting. Oh my God, where's my phone? Like,
I really need to see this film.
It's really, really funny.
When he first goes to pee. This is amazing.
This is amazing. You just point and shoot. It's got a handle. That's what he says. It's got a handle.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, it's amazing. Fucking brilliant. You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm watching.
I recently rewatched the original, though.
It's good.
Kind of holds up.
Watching The Rock and Karen Gillan, like, have.
I don't think that's how you say her name, but okay.
I thought it was Gillian.
I thought it was too.
That's probably right. But watching them.
She fucking ditched out on Denver Comic Con again.
Watching them have awkward teenager interaction is amazing because, like, she's incredibly attractive and he is one of the most like
he's also
idealized human beings on the face of the earth. Like the dude looks like a He-Man action figure. I'm watching him be like, yeah, kind of like you too. Is awesome. Like it was
watching her try and flirt was fucking so funny.
Also, I'm all about any movie that has dance battling in it.
Yeah, my special power is dance fighting. What the hell is that?
I love dance fights. I'm just saying.
It's funny. You need to go watch it.
BitTorrent, here we go.
Wow.
Finally watched
Cloverfield 3.
Is going to be a Netflix release, is what I read.
I don't know. I didn't read that, but I read that they're starting to market it in
which
weird
could mean literally
different
anything.
Ways.
Yeah.
And that there's little ties of audio linking back to Cloverfield. The 10, what was it called?
10 Cloverfield
Lane. There you go. And they're talking about John Goodman and shit. So it's supposed to come out in the next like 2 months or some right. shit.
And what I read is that it's supposed to come out like directly onto Netflix, nice. And that the rest of the Cloverfield movies may be on Netflix or even a Netflix series. Like there's a lot of rumor swirling around it because he's so adept at keeping that shit secret. So
fuck you guys.
Which makes me feel
I'm excited for it.
It makes me feel kind of cool because when
it makes you feel cool?
Yeah, because when
you
the first
are not cool, Gabe. You are so cool.
When the original Cloverfield movie came out, I really dug deep into like the weird viral marketing and was trying to find like all the websites and stuff. So there's all these weird backstories about like the company that owns like the Slusho company and the chemical dumping that they did that caused the creatures to come up from the ocean. All these weird sidetrack backstories.
Where did they come from the ocean?
Because
there are deleted cuts that shows them falling from the sky.
I know. So, like, there's all sorts of cool backstory stuff.
Jealous of my sweet whistle?
Yes, that I am, swirls actually. Around in my brain from reading all that shit.
Not a lot. Like of 10 years ago.
Well,
brain.
Yeah. There's plenty of room for it.
Only when he's weeded.
You're weeded.
Sometimes.
I wish I was more weeded.
Why aren't you?
But not too much more weeded.
Oh, okay.
Because then I get like. Logan got nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay.
I approve.
Wonder Woman didn't get nominated for anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't nominate black people or women for things. We know how the Oscars work.
I don't know. The Peele guy, what's his name?
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele got nominated?
Well, yeah, that's because Get Out has all sorts of white liberals in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like
it's about exactly what the system was.
Like he hired a bunch of like Jewish white people, and so they got to nominate him for all sorts of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Let's be real. That's probably why.
He talked about how he doesn't want to act anymore. He gave out an interview.
He doesn't really act. I mean, he's kind of in front of the camera, but...
He's a comedian. He acts. The show was hilarious, but he doesn't...
I hate Key and Peele.
He doesn't want to do that anymore. It's horrible. He wants to write and direct.
Good.
So
he's better
behind
the
really
camera.
Good at that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get Out was one of my favorite movies last year, so...
I've seen most of it.
It's...
I don't think I've seen the ending.
It's yet. Like the best combination of funny and horrifying.
Don't worry. It works out well for the black guy.
Good. That's what I was hoping for.
He doesn't get sold.
I rewatched.
It's the movie. That's the movie.
I mean, that's
movie.
Not where my head was, Mr. Slave Trader over here.
With the Oscar nomination, I watched Logan. Like again, holy shit, man!
It's so fucking
just
good, dude.
Genuinely one of the best superhero movie adaptations there is.
I really did almost cry. The very end of the
movie. I really did cry at the end. Like it was
emotional.
When
she's holding his hand and she's fucking
calling him daddy.
So sad.
Dying. Ugh. Just dying.
After he gets his ass just fucking handed to him.
By himself. finally got the chance to watch Thor Ragnarok too.
Oh, that was good too.
That movie's hilarious.
So good.
It's funny.
You have these things at your fingertips. How do you not watch them?
Just time. Usually it's time. So Mel had never seen Thor Dark World, the one before it. So right after we watched Thor Ragnarok.
Get that one all together.
Right after we watched Thor Ragnarok, she's like, I haven't seen Thor 2. Like, I'd like to see that one. So we put it on. She gets done with it. She's all, well, that was like way more serious than Thor Ragnarok. I was like, yeah, it's like a completely different.
They brought in a whole new set of people to
like,
do this movie.
It's a completely different movie. And I approve of the direction of Thor Ragnarok a little better than Thor Dark World.
Yes.
I like Thor Dark World, but it's just, it kind of spins its wheels.
It started to do DC. It started to go in the DC realm.
They're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck, we're Marvel. Shit.
Wait, we make good movies. Oh. Shots fired. I'll be that guy today.
I agree with you. I watched them all, but they're not that good.
I really want to like DC films. I own most of the ones that are out because I want to support DC films because I figure
I want a good Batman movie. I want a good Aquaman movie.
I just can't put it into words right now.
I love the Wonder Woman movie. Like, I want them to make good movies out of their characters, and most of the time, they just aren't.
Yes.
Like, it's depressing as fuck because, like, they have the keys to some of the best comic book characters ever written, and they're just like,
yeah,
how can we make it relevant to today?
They don't have the keys to the best movie-making people out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, DC's killing it in comics, Marvel's killing it in films.
Yeah.
It's so weird how that's... Like, you would figure if one's killing it in comics, they should be
able to kill it in movies.
Yeah. Not the case.
And you know Marvel's not You know Marvel's not killing it on comics when they put, like, most of their current trades on sale,
yeah,
like, digitally on Amazon.
Somebody said that was an annual thing.
I know, but 80 cents?
Yeah, somebody said it was an annual
thing. Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know.
I think the...
It does make me want to buy the Black Panther volume.
I think the majority of the stuff I read is team-ups. I love Justice League. I like reading Justice League books.
I don't read a ton of DC and Marvel, really. I was reading Batman, but I didn't have enough, like, finances to keep it in my pool because it was coming out every other week, and it's just, like, crushing the amount of money I was spending, so...
But now you're out of debt.
Well, we're getting there, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're out.
Well, not quite, but we're getting there. I will probably add a couple more titles to my pool, but it's... It probably won't be Batman. It probably won't be Wonder Woman. It'll probably be other random
something
stuff
Image
that I want.
Dark Horse, yeah, or Boom or Fanbase or
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
I read a Dynamite comic a couple times. Just kidding. I've read a lot of them. They have all those Red Sonja books. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one did that weird, crazy book that the comic book men did?
Oh, which, Cryptozoic
which,
Man?
Yeah, which studio that was did on that? Dynamite. Was that Boom or Dynamite?
No, that was Dynamite.
I think it was Dynamite.
Okay, then that was the last Dynamite
because,
title. That,
because they did, Green Hornet versus Green Hornet versus Green Lantern and stuff that Kevin Smith worked on too.
Yeah,
I read all that stuff. He didn't work on any Cryptozoic Man. That was a weird fucking book. I read it.
But yeah,
that was Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
and Walt
Flanagan.
Flanagan.
Really good artist. That book had terrible writing. Like, that book made no sense. Sorry, Brian Johnson. Please don't kill my
ass. I think they're writing another book, but I can't remember what it was.
Hopefully somebody looks over it and is like, we could make this make more sense. That's pretty much all
I
have for stuff
I consume. Yeah, I don't really have anything.
All right, let's take a break. Come back and talk about 2004's.
Talk about you and me.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that maybe.
Let's talk about sex after hours, 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 hours.
Hi, this is Barbara Dillon.
And Brian Dillon.
From Fanbase Press.
And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliette Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
right, and then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time!"
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
$400 billion. You've gone the charity route. You have this perfect 100-room mansion with matching his and her yachts and helicopter pads. How do you feel your day? What do you do?
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read this. You're going to listen. You're going to stand the line. And you're not going to interrupt. You're going to speak for any reason. Some of this you know. I'm going to start at the top of the page.
Inside the box, it's like a street. Both ends are cul-de-sac.
They took from their surroundings what was needed and made of it something more.
Darren, I can imagine no way in which this thing would be considered anywhere remotely close to safe.
Why not the lottery?
margin account, right?
For now, though, if you wanted to, you can just tell her you had a good day in the market.
You don't understand. No. You don't understand the questions that come with that, okay?
Hey, hey. Come here for a second. What's on your hand? You bleeding?
Did you see that? I swear that was him. What the hell is he doing? Just sitting outside my house at 2 in the morning.
There's no way I would tell anyone about this. No way.
Can you think of any reason that you might?
No, I can't. Sometimes we do things. No, we don't know how we got to that.
No, I can't.
Can't what?
I can't think of any reason why I would.
There was value in the thing, clearly, that they were certain of.
I know.
On the show?
Piece of shit.
Wow.
Oh, that got intense.
Ooh, wow.
And we're back.
Getting intense. Fuck. Where's the cookie, bitch?
Yeah, but I was... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, take one of my
hey,
cookies.
Hey, let's have a little respect for our...
Shut up!
Our guest.
Put it in your mouth. Put it... All right, that's fine. I'll put it in your mouth.
Wow, that got nasty.
I thought Tim liked it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is true. Let's talk about 2004's Primer, directed by Shane Carruth, starring Shane Carruth and David Sullivan's the other guy I wrote down because he commented on our Instagram post about Primer, which I thought was hilarious. I didn't look up any trivia on this. It has an extremely low budget.
$7,000.
Mel asked me how I had found out about the movie. The first time I encountered it, it was one of the first like movies that Netflix really pushed on its streaming service. So I remember a lot of people were like, oh, wow, you want to watch something streaming on Netflix that you maybe haven't heard of that's really, really good. Check out this movie, Primer. And I ended up watching it probably like 2004, 2005, something like that.
I just recently was searching for, I just put in Google, time what's movies. Time travel movies? And That's one of the ones that came up. So
I know how I feel about this movie.
I hated it.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. I was watching it, and as I was watching it, I was either like, either the time travel aspect's going to hook Juan and he's going to enjoy it, or he's going to get like 15 to 20 minutes into this movie and be like, where the fuck is this going?
Yeah, but
fuck this movie.
But see, I knew it was a time travel movie.
Right.
So I was just waiting for the hook. Because at the beginning, it's literally these two like stockbroker dudes talking about
gibberish.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
And then this little fucking thing that they're building for somebody that's trying to defy gravity or some shit.
Yeah.
So. It just didn't make any sense. I felt like I jumped into the middle of a movie instead of knowing what the fuck is going on.
Which I kind of like. Like, I really enjoy the beginning of the movie because of that. You don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And you don't really figure out what they're doing until they inadvertently discovered that the machine they make causes time travel
right.
to happen. And that's awesome.
But it's weird because some of the things just don't, like you said, they just don't make sense. I must have not been paying attention or something when they were taking the fungus off of the egg, or, you know, the little toy, not the egg.
The Weeble, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, because then they just jumped to the having it in the bag, and I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, I don't understand what happened, and then they're like, it was just really weird. Well,
so that's what happens, is the, David Sullivan's character, Abe, goes up to Shane Carruth's character, whose name I don't remember, and he says, I've got to show you something, and that's it. Like, this is what's happening. I've been cleaning this off every 5
right,
days.
Right.
You know, and
it was just weird. Like, it just came out of nowhere, and then they had it tested and shit, and I was like, what the fuck are these idiots talking about? It's just so weird to me. It was I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's obviously was made for $7,000, so it's hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah,
and the camera moves a shit ton sometimes.
And the sound quality
is hard.
Is hard.
Because yeah, they're recording and you can hear...
There's definite moments where I'm like, did you guys like put yourselves in a tin can? Like, holy shit, this sounds terrible. Like, when I first saw the movie, those were kind of like the signs of like an independent art house movie.
Right.
So I think I was a little more forgiving with it when I was younger because I was so used to, like, let's say the shitty production values of something like Clerks, right. You know, or the terrible production value of like a trauma movie. Like, you're not necessarily into it because it's going to be like a high level production. You're more interested in the plot.
I still don't understand why you need $10,000 to make a movie. Like, I just don't. What the fuck are you spending all that money on? Like, the editing software or something? Like, I don't.
Actors and advertising.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yes, but if it's an indie, I bet they just advertised it by word of mouth. I mean, they had a studio, too.
They had to rent the storage space. There's that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, unless they had a deal worked out.
It just seems like a lot of fucking
money. Did you watch the credits at all?
I don't think so.
So the credits are kind of funny. Because, like, there's, like, five people in the movie. I mean, there's not a ton of people in the movie. Almost everybody that's in the movie that's, like, an extra, like, the lab technician or whatever, has the same last name of one of the four guys that's at the beginning of the movie. Like, almost everybody has, like, you know, is either Carruth, Sullivan, or the other two guys whose names I don't remember.
Right.
Who did this movie with their friends.
Right.
Like, you know, they're not actors.
I feel like we could make this movie for less than $7,000.
Probably, yeah. But they get to the end of, like, the cast credits, right? And it says, thanks to, you know, two people's names, Carruth, who fed us all our meals. So, like, their mom and dad were, like, the catering company, you know. It's clearly, like, this homegrown, like, passion project,
right.
You know, and it shows, like,
it was good,
and it's frankly it's fairly well acted. Like, there's not any times in the movie where I feel like they're overacting or being silly with the storyline. Like, it's taken seriously.
I think some of the things could have been left out. Like I didn't know what was going on at the beginning. They were making this device with these other two non-important people.
Right.
But like, a whole lot of the beginning is spent on some of these people that don't have anything to do with the movie. It's just weird. Like,
it builds some of the tension towards the end, the middle and the end of the movie, where they're sitting in the future talking about, you know, we can't tell the other two guys.
Is it the future?
Yeah, because they're
present.
You can tell they're in the future because they're sitting at the library looking at stocks. Okay. And then he looks at his friend, at Abe, and says, we can't tell the other guys about this.
Right.
Like, we just have to do this and walk away.
Right.
So it builds a little bit of that tension. And then the aspect of the guy that starts following him around.
The dad.
The dad's the
father-in-law or whatever. Yeah.
He, like, so that's why he's at the beginning, so that you understand that he's some kind of investor. And then when he figures out what they're doing, he sneaks into the machine, you know. I mean, so some of it is set up, but I think part of the problem is the movie's 77 minutes long.
Right.
It's like a super short movie. I feel like if it's 90 minutes long, the end of the movie has time to expand on some of the ideas that they built at the beginning, and the end of the movie's a little less muddled. Like, it's one of the rare movies where it could definitely stand to be 10 to 15 minutes longer.
Right.
So that it explains out really specifically, who's this guy? Why does Abe have to kill him? Why does this guy have to go back and forth to the future? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Other than that, like,
yeah, and then the scene where they're trying to stop the shooter guy, like, that came out of nowhere too. It was kind of weird.
Well, and it's because he wants to be with Rachel,
right?
Okay,
right.
But then that also gets all muddled because they're trying to put together all these ideas that they spend like 30, 40 minutes on at the beginning of the movie, and then they're trying to cram it all the summation into the last 30 minutes of the movie. So you can, I mean, if it's like a 90-minute movie, you have, you know, 45 minutes, like, as opposed to 45 minutes, like, 15 minutes,
right.
You know, so I don't know. It's
probably one of the most confusing time travel movies I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because the timeline is weird. There's a sometimes you never know who's like what's going on and until they know. Like when he's at the end and he thinks he stopped everything and the future guy sent himself all the recordings on the ear thing. Like it's just like what the fuck? Like I get that they're in a time travel movie and maybe there's like a couple different versions, but I feel like there's like 18 different versions you guys
and
going
that's
on.
The problem. Like they get to a point where they've made
he's like killing himself and shit.
They've made so many weird decisions that there's like 8 or 9 versions of themselves traveling back and forth in time to the point where they're fucking confused about what's going on. Like when he gets the cell phone call and they have the debate, I'm in the future. Is my cell phone ringing in the future or in the past?
See, but I thought they were that's what confused me. I thought they were in the present, but that they were in different locations in the present.
So
because they travel, and that's why he stays in the hotel so that he doesn't run into his double in their time.
So
what I thought was that he was saying whose cell phone rings right now because we have the same phone number and the same phone.
So if she's calling them in the timeline that they're in, they're still both there because they're not traveling into the far-flung future.
Right.
They're traveling like a day into the future. So that's why they go to the different town.
Right.
So they don't run into themselves on that timeline. But because of the way cell phones work, it's going to try to find the chip. So if it's trying to find the chip and you're both in the same like general vicinity, which phone is ringing?
And that's that's what he's. They ask each other, "Is this how cell phones work?" And they're like,
"I don't know." Yeah. Like that's my favorite part. He gives like this really lengthy explanation about how cell phone towers and cell phones work, and goes, "Is that how it works? I don't know. Like I'm making shit up." Like there's a point where Carruth's character says to him, "I don't know shit about these time loops and whatever. I don't really know how it works because nobody's ever done this before." Like nobody knows how this works.
Right.
It's all Star Trek bullshit. Like so oh no.
It was good. It's just the time I think the timeline is too confusing to me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I love time travel movies. They're fucking awesome. I love that it didn't go too much into it went more on what they were doing and what was going on in the world rather than on the machine itself. Which was cool.
Especially with their budget because clearly the machine is made of like cardboard boxes.
Right. it's a good movie, but it's definitely muddled. And I feel like there's a lot of little things in there that should have been more linear than they were in the movie or shouldn't have been in the movie, in my opinion. But I enjoyed it. I still thought it was a good movie.
And it has one of my favorite kind of – because there's always this idea like where is your brain when you're time traveling? Like there's a Stephen King story about it where they go through a wormhole to effectively time travel or travel faster than the speed of light.
Who wrote this?
Stephen King.
Okay.
And everybody's supposed to take this drug to make themselves go to sleep when they're traveling through the wormhole. Okay. And this kid doesn't take it. He's just being a rebellious little kid. And when he gets to the other end, his mom wakes up and her son is insane because he's gone through this wormhole while not being asleep. And he has this amazing line, like, you know, "Are you okay? I've been in there longer than you know, mom." Like, you know, this idea that he's been awake for millions of years kind of thing. So it has this amazing line where they're both coming out of the time travel machine. They're walking through the storage unit place. He goes, "Man, I keep having this dream that I'm in there where I'm just standing on a beach in the night." And the guy finishes the sentence and the tide just keeps going in and out, in and out. And like this idea of like this calm like place that they're just resting in while they travel through time is just a super poetic idea to me that I fucking love. And honestly kind of makes the movie for me. Like this idea that we're going to deal with this wild science fiction idea as intelligently as we can on like this minuscule budget and actually act the shit out of it. Fucking one of my favorite movies.
I thought it was good, but at the end, it was kind of weird.
It does get jumbled at the end.
That one guy is staying behind to make sure that –
time travel doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
And then one guy is going off to different countries to try and exploit
time
people.
Travel.
Yeah. And I thought his intention was to keep it on the down low, but at the end you see him building like a warehouse sized time machine. And I mean, I'm guessing that you're going to try and send hundreds of people at least through time, which is kind of weird to me. At the end of this movie, I thought to myself, you know, if this were to ever happen, I would either have to keep it to myself, or I would have to jump through time with somebody that I knew absolutely, I believed in my heart that I could trust.
Right.
Because these two people think they can trust each other, and then they do. Yeah. Not Doyle. He'll be shitting in a bag.
You'd just be chilling one day and be like, oh, God, my ass hurts. What the hell happened?
Just kidding, Doyle. I would fucking trust you with my life, man.
But these people travel, they underhand each other. They send themselves shit in the future or in the past.
To fuck with themselves.
To fuck with the other guy. Yeah. And it's just, it's really, like, it gets to the point where you're like, fuck, like, this is super, super confusing and dangerous. Like,
and it's because the two of them have different opinions about what they should do with the technology. Like, the one guy's like, we go in the future, we make a couple mil, we walk away.
Right.
Like, and the other guy's like, whoa, we could like take over the world with this shit. And his friend's like, that is a terrible idea. So, oh no, it's good. What do you think? Thumbs up.
I'd watch it. I mean, if you're really sensitive about like the way things are shot, this is probably not going to be a movie for you because it's hard to watch.
It is sometimes. A very low budget.
It's not easy to watch. But as far as the movie itself goes, I would watch it again.
If you're into like really intelligent science fiction, like well written, well acted, with like just a killer concept more than anything, like maybe all the plot points don't form cohesively at the end. The end feels kind of rushed to me. But if you like high concept science fiction, this is definitely a go. Like, it is a really good fucking movie.
Yeah, man. If you like this, I'm telling you, go watch Time Crimes. Blackshire just watched it, and he tagged us in the thing after he watched it. They're very similar movies in that they have there's only one real guy in Time Crimes. There's one guy, and then the guy who created the time machine thing, and that's it, really. There's a couple other, you know, offshoots, but really there's like two people, and it's just him copies of himself. Him not knowing that he's himself in the future positioning things that happen to himself. It's really
fucking
weird.
It sounds awesome. So.
But they're similar. They're both really low budget movies. They're both, they both deal with the same person, but at different points in time happening at the same time. It's really cool.
I bet Blackshire is wishing he could go back in time after invading the old time radio still hour compound.
It was good.
Clyde sent me the pictures of him and the goat. It's you don't want to know.
Oh, you don't.
I kind of do, though. Kind of do.
So much feces.
Oh. Well, I still kind of want to know.
Well, with that said, next episode.
Oh, God.
The interview. Have you seen this movie
No,
yet?
I haven't seen it yet,
you're
going
to like it. It's funny. It's hilarious. Come on.
Who's in this film?
Joe Rogan. Seth Rogan.
Seth Rogan and James Franco and Kim Jong-un.
The Me Too. So we're supporting...
Oh, that film.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're supporting harassers.
It's fine.
Man.
We've supported much worse on this.
Yeah, we really have.
Aggravated art.
No.
We're no longer allowed to support him.
I haven't said shit nearly as bad as some of the other people on the show.
No, you have not.
So get on it.
I could step it up a little bit.
Yeah, you could.
I found a topic while you guys were talking about that shit.
Oh, nice. Shit.
Gabe, you'll approve of this.
Is it old man-ish?
Could be. Yes, actually, it very much could be.
Well, then when we come back, we'll have Tim and I's old man picks for this episode.
So wet.
This is Mark.
And this is Zach. And you're listening to
Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yeah, that was terrible. Okay.
What is up, future listener? My name is Josh.
And I'm Kevin.
And I am Michael. And we host the Second Press Podcast, that news curating podcast where us three cousins get together and make fun of the news.
We'll keep this short and sweet. You should listen to our podcast because it's funny and informative.
Exactly. We find interesting stories off the beaten path and liven up overreported stories with our own fresh views and new takes.
Yeah, and despite being a news podcast, we are pleasantly not preachy at all.
So, search for the Second Press Podcast in your podcast aggregator of choice and give the Second Press Podcast a listen.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Second Press Pod.
And if you're feeling really adventurous, you can explore our sexy website at www.secondpresspod.com.
We would really love for you guys to give us a listen and join our growing community.
Guys, we already love you, and because we do, we ask you, please stay out of the news.
Peace.
Hours, 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 hours.
Suck my cock.
And we're back.
Well, that was quick.
That's not working the way I want it to work.
It's kind of pokey.
That's what she said.
God damn it.
I shut that shit right down. Thank you.
Hey.
Thanks, Bailey.
Donnie. Thanks for the dew, bro.
Just kidding, B. Just kidding, B.
The dew of the mountain.
It's a lot of can opening on air right there.
It's all right, bro. There's going to be a lot of can opening later, too.
Getting drunk.
Getting drunk.
All right, bro. Oh wait, I can't I can't talk about it because we talked about it on the video. Sorry, my bad. Right, if you want to know what the fuck that was about, go to patreon.com/TOTLB. Sign up to get our exclusive before the episode videos.
You like the shirt I'm gonna get, Chad?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Did I tell you about it? How it says ranch, never drink alone.
Yes. I remember.
There's a dude who's got like spittle coming out of his mouth.
Oh, man. Oh, I thought it was his face. Hot. I assumed it was a picture of his face, but that was.
That would be amazing.
That would be pretty funny. Oh, it's so gross. I never want to drink ranch soda again. What? Yeah, exactly. What? That is, should be the.
Not just ranch soda, but bacon flavored soda, too, apparently.
Awesome. It was disgusting.
I tried the buffalo wing soda on a dare once. No, Speedy.
No, Speedy.
Wow.
Not a mouther.
Not a mouther. Hashtag not a mouther.
So, like, genuinely, just throw back to our conversation last night when we were weeded.
I talked about your wife last night. And then a pod from a podcast episode.
I don't even know what you just said.
Man. Whew. That was funny. Let's hear your old man pick. I want you to go first.
So, my old man pick, kind of. So, apparently, Dare, you remember Dare?
With the drugs?
Cartoon Lion, has taken weed off of its gateway drug list.
Oh, hey, that is a pretty interesting thing.
After my teacher told me to smoke.
After your turgid?
Her teacher literally said, if your parents smoke weed, come tell me.
I'm like, why? It's legal.
Yeah, why would you snitch out your parents for something that's like, the same level as drinking a beer.
A cult leader? Yes. She trying to exercise control over her
flock.
Her flock.
Her flock.
Her quote unquote family.
I definitely need to start a cult.
Me too.
So did you have to do the DARE program when you were a kid?
I had to.
I don't think so.
So I didn't have to do it because I went to a private school. So
explains a bit.
What?
I did.
Oh, you did. Last okay. Year. When you raise your hand, that's not good radio.
Visual cues.
You can share a mic if you want to talk. Let's hear your teenage experience of the DARE program.
Of the weed.
Your mind is still fresh.
No, she does not smoke marijuana.
Well, like the whole.
Do you?
No.
You need to get close.
Vape in class. Oh, my God.
Don't even start with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like
you need to get close.
Closer.
I'm sorry.
You're pulling at me right now.
You're pulling a Dom and Tim.
That's what she said.
Just.
Okay. Well, like, the whole.
To be fair, that's not what she ever said.
Well, like, I remember.
The whole?
What? Stop. Leave. I remember, like, the whole weed because it was separated, like, day by day we would learn about a new drug. And first of all,
This is how you cook meth.
First of all, I remember Mel... Breaking down. I remember Mel telling me that they actually brought the drugs into their schools. And then,
that sounds illegal.
Yeah, exactly. And they'd be like, this is what it smells like. This is what it looks like. And I'm like, first of all, you can't do that now. Like, that would go missing.
Yeah, if somebody brought a sack of weed into a school and was like, gone. Everybody take a sniff so that you know what marijuana smells like.
They'd be like,
that disappears.
This is some good shit. And just put this in my pocket.
The cops.
I feel like Bailey has smoked weed.
I have not. I have not. But
trust her.
I'm sorry.
I trust you.
Don't look at me that way. But the whole...
Who gave you weed?
That whole,
who did it?
That whole day...
Looking for what you did! I should have told my teacher!
Yes. But that whole day, we didn't actually learn anything because there was this one kid in my class, Rudy. Everything the teacher said, he'd be like, well, I heard that the taxes from marijuana pay for our schools. And then she would yell at us, you know, no, they don't. And I'm like, yes, they do.
Yes,
they do. So, like, I feel like the whole... They go towards our schools. The whole day... We didn't learn about the negatives. All of us were like, oh, wow, weed really helps us. Like, so it was like super unproductive.
Colorado made it.
Whoa, it was, weird, right?
Yeah, and then me being a big mouth and being related to dad.
Wait, what?
Yeah, weird. No. Yeah.
He's got a small, purdy mouth.
It's crazy.
You would know what a pretty mouth looks like.
I would. I don't know what that means.
Right here.
Oh.
Oh my god. A little tuck, a little rouge.
That's awful. Oh my god.
Puts the lotion on its skin.
All right.
It's the hose again.
Oh my gosh. But like
about what size are you?
Me being a big mouth, I agreed with Rudy with everything Rudy was saying. So after class,
it's inevitably Rudy's a bad influence, and you shouldn't hang out with him.
Oh yeah,
yeah, fuck.
Oh yeah, probably not.
He sounds actually Mexican, so you probably shouldn't hang out with him anyway.
Surprisingly, he's a little white boy. So.
Oh wow, that's weird.
Yeah, I know.
Like Rudy.
I know. It's crazy.
We're shitting on this kid.
There's just a movie about a white kid named Rudy.
Side note, that was a totally fake movie anyways. Nobody has said that everything in that movie was true. Everybody disagrees with
Rudy. The real Rudy is, in fact, white.
Yeah, and he's tiny. And he's got a little bit of a lisp.
And he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm just saying, there's a lot of white people named Rudy.
No. Anyways.
Anyways, I got pulled aside by my teacher. She was like, you know, if you're ever in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and maybe your parents are smoking weed or drinking, come talk to me. And in my head, I'm like,
no.
I honestly was like, that's what keeps my parents sane. Like, when they're not high, they're crazy.
Yeah. I want to fucking leave the house.
Exactly.
Like, that's when I'll fucking call you.
It's like, my parents are sober.
We have no more weed.
Help me.
We have no more weed. They're awful.
Well, stop yelling. Just stuff. Just random things that keep yelling.
Big Mexican hole.
Oh, man. So long story short, Bailey's teacher wants her to snitch us out.
What's your teacher's name?
No, don't shame the teacher.
What school do you go to? No, I'll tell you that either.
Don't say that either.
You go to Highland High School. Fuck it.
I'd hate for somebody to get fired over doing their job, though.
Well, she doesn't work at there anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, in fact,
I didn't say her full name.
I know
a lot of people that go that used to teach there.
Her name is Snitch. That's going to end up in a goddamn gutter. That's what her name is.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Snitch. That was going to end up in a ditch.
Oh, I missed the
come
rhyme.
On, buddy. Come on.
I'm not high. That's the problem. All that shit wore off. It's just fucking coffee and Mountain Dew right now. You get Gabe part two in this one. Just screaming at things for no reason.
See,
fuck you, couch!
Why
Stop looking at me.
Why would I snitch on you when you're like this with that weed?
Oh, I know. It's awful.
I know.
That's why none of my high school friends talk to me anymore. They're like, God, that guy never shuts up.
So angry.
I know. It's weird. It's really weird. I get
it. You start to hate things again.
Oh, I always hate things. What were we talking about last night that I just randomly hate? I don't know. Oh, man. I didn't write it down.
We had so many good conversations last night.
Oh, you don't even know, Bailey. You weren't there.
I was on the phone with you.
That's my Bailey voice.
Please don't hit me. You're probably stronger than me.
If I hit you, your arm will probably just fall off.
My arm wouldn't, but if you hit me.
Like that old man joke.
Oh, you want to hear my old man dirty joke? And then we'll go into my old man pick. So this lady, she needs to get a mirror for her bedroom because her mirror broke or whatever. I don't know why.
She had bad luck.
Stupid setup with the joke.
It was a great joke. So far.
She goes to this antique store.
This is about as good as that comedian.
Oh, no. This will get better than that comedian. I'm not saying it's a good joke.
Not my comedian.
It's going to be better than that, though.
Please, God, anything could be better than
that. She buys this really ornate mirror. She takes it home. She puts it up. She looks at herself in the mirror. She's like, man, I look old. You know, I remember when my boobs were really perky. I remember looking better. She goes, man, I wish I had just a nice set of tits again. And then boom, like that. She just looks like she got a boob job. And she's super excited. She runs downstairs. She tells her husband, holy shit, we've got a wishing mirror. I wished for a nice new rack, and now I have this great set of knockers. And the guy's all, what? A wishing mirror? He runs upstairs, looks in the mirror, and goes, I wish my cock would hit the floor. And his legs disappear.
Oh, no.
That was lame.
It's a dad version.
Not nearly as funny as living with your parents and working six jobs. I'm sorry. That was way funnier.
See, when you say it like that, it's fucking hilarious. I don't know what that guy's problem is. He's got like endless material.
No, he should just be more like me. Then he'd be real funny.
So when my boss told me that joke, right, when I was sitting in the break room, and the way he told it is not his legs disappear. It was, and then his legs fell off. And in my brain, I was like, oh, that's fucking, that would be awful. Like blood everywhere. Like just dying.
It's like the movie The Leprechaun, bro.
Ooh.
You wish for something and then you fucking get it, but it's crazy.
Right. Because those movies are classics.
I like the first one. I like the first one. Then they went to the hood and shit. And
Leprechaun in the hood is...
got stupid.
They're surprisingly watchable.
They're rapping and shit. Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, but it's funny. So my old man pick. I go to the library fairly regularly. Yeah. Shut up. You know who goes to the library with me? You're a nerd.
He taps under the stall.
Where you read books and shit?
I do. I love books. I read a lot of books.
Looking for the glory.
I am a very stable genius.
Oh, God. One fucking episode.
There's never going to be an episode like that. We have 7 more years of episodes where we mention that guy. Anyway, so go to the library. They have a copy of Creepshow. The comic book Stephen King turned into a movie.
Correct.
So I check it out. I haven't read it in forever. So it got me thinking about the first time I read Creepshow. So when my parents first got divorced, my mom decided to move to Pennsylvania. Went with her to Clarion, Pennsylvania, which is like probably one of my favorite places in the world to be. I loved it. There were two stores that I absolutely loved going into. There was a record store, and I would go through the heavy metal section and look at like all the Ozzy albums and Pentagram and stuff like this, like all the metal albums, because I thought the art was like super, super cool. Obviously, my mom would never let me buy any of those albums with my allowance or whatever. The other thing is a bookstore, and it was like an old school bookstore. It's not like Barnes and Noble where there's chairs to sit in. You can just chill out and drink a cup of coffee. Like bookstores used to be, you went and got the book that you were going to get, maybe browsed a little bit, and then you bought it and you left to read it. Yeah. So to like sit down in a bookstore and read a book was like not okay. And like the people that owned the bookstore would like hover over you and be like, you're going to buy that? Like, or are you just going to read the whole book and then go home? You know, this isn't a library was a sentence that I got a lot in that bookstore. Or the library is down the street. Also a sentence I got a lot in the bookstore. They had a copy of Creepshow on the shelf next to all the other Stephen King books. I was in the second grade at the time. So here's this crazy lurid cover, kid in bed reading a comic book with a skeletal like creature behind him in the window. Super tantalizing, super creepy. But because I was such a little kid, in my brain, like, this book was naughty. Like, I shouldn't be reading this. I shouldn't be allowed to read this. Ooh. So I pulled the book off the shelf.
So he pulled out his Playboy.
Went and hid in the corner. Went and hid in the corner of the bookstore where like they couldn't see me. Right, they couldn't see me. I sat down in the corner and I read all of Creepshow like in the bookstore. So here's like this combination of I shouldn't be reading in the bookstore because they want you to buy the book. I shouldn't be reading this comic book because it's got monsters and people dying and swear words and all this other stuff.
I shouldn't be getting these pages sticky.
Yeah. I definitely shouldn't be.
Shouldn't have my dick out.
I shouldn't be jerking off in the store.
Shouldn't but be, it's just, shouldn't be cosplaying as Stanley.
Yeah, I That was a good one.
I'm not even high enough.
But in general, it was like this very like taboo, risque situation that was super cool. Like it made me latch onto the story so much more than I probably would have if I just had owned it. You know, it's so going back and rereading it at the time, no conceptualization that the art was by Bernie Wrightson. You know,
may
no
rest in peace.
Yeah, no conceptualization that the art's phenomenal, the writing's phenomenal. It's just a fucking amazing book in general. So now that I'm getting the chance to read it again as an adult, it's so hard to do this serious thing when you guys are like pantomiming pouring sodas out over the soundboard.
It's one for my homie.
I know, one for Bernie Wrightson, kill the podcast. Like, but it's just such a cool, like, it's such a cool product. Like, here's a bunch of Stephen King's short stories, which is something he fucking excels at. Like, I personally think he's a better short story writer than he is a novelist. Here's Bernie Wrightson with his unbelievable grasp of, like, comic book art.
Everything.
And, like, knowing how, like, those old horror and EC comics work so well and, like, embracing, like, that ethos. And then when I really think about it, it's my first encounter with that brand of like comic book, like the, you know, the Crypt Keeper style character, the short stories that have like a moral like compass, right, even though they're super gory and incredibly violent. You know, it's just, it was such a, like, it's such a weirdly formative thing that I haven't thought about in such a long time until I went to the library and was like, holy shit, Creepshow. I haven't read that since I was in second grade.
Right.
And checked it out. And like, just the rush of memory combined with just the book being amazing is a really cool thing. Nice. So, I don't know. That's why I like doing the old man picks, is because I like thinking about the things that were attached to whatever right. it is that I enjoyed. So, Pennsylvania's a blast. If you get a chance to go to Clarion, Pennsylvania, beautiful city. Like, has a college.
I went to Hershey.
Yeah. They make chocolate there.
Yeah, I know. I went to the Hershey factory.
Was it pretty fun?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They have a little tiny, like, you get on it and it's like a train that goes takes you through the factory and it's pretty cool.
It's kind of like the chocolate version of the Small World.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awful.
They have.
Is there singing? Okay, as long as there's not singing.
They have like a theme park out in front, but it was rainy and shitty when we went, so we just went into the thing.
When I lived,
we made a little piece of chocolate. You can see what it looks like. You can change what it looks like and shit. It's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
You can also buy a 10-pound Hershey bar.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can do that at like Rocket Fizz now. Right, so. Yeah. Hey, Rocket Fizz, just so you know, I love your store, and you could always sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, we love your store, but fuck your ranch soda.
Oh, yeah, fuck ranch soda. That's nasty.
You guys got to know that stuff's gross.
Of course they know that's gross. That stuff's not flying off the shelf. The ranch soda we bought was probably made in like 2001.
Semen soda.
You got to go to...
No. No, it wouldn't.
People just be pouring it on themselves.
You got to go to Hanover and go to the Utz Factory.
Oh,
fresh warm potato chips, sweet Jesus. Dude,
I love Utz chips too.
every time we go back to Virginia to visit Mel's parents, like we come back with like 10 bags of the crab, the crab seasoning Utz slash couldn't nail down that Old Bay seasoning.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's still
Old Bay. They just don't have
doing that this year, huh? Like that.
I'm not going this year. Mel is going back with Hannah to visit her parents, and then I'm going to San Diego. Not at the same time. It's not at the same time.
I don't want to be the person who took you away from your family trip.
No, it's okay.
Now you're going to spend your family trip with my family.
Well, not all of it. Just the ride there and back. And then some time with you, some alone time.
Ooh.
We get to share a room.
Wow. Sticky pages.
Oh.
I'm sharing a room the entire time I'm there because I'm doing a hostel. So I'm sharing a room with
He may
eight
not
other people.
Be there when I get to fucking San Diego.
I may get murder raped. Yeah. Probably in that order.
You just need to get yourself like a bloodhound tattoo before you go, and then you'll be all right. Then they'll think you're one of them.
I don't know what that means.
You never seen the movie?
Oh,
the members of like the murder part. They all get a bloodhound tattoo.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
They got the cards and shit.
It's been a really long time since
it's a horrible movie.
No, it's all right.
It's a terrible movie.
It's okay.
No way.
And the second one.
It's a great film. Are you? Is he high?
No,
I love those films.
Ugh, I can't stand them.
Blood and tits. It's literally the motto to our
cheer squad. Well, I mean, on that positive note, blood and tits.
Blood and tits.
I guess we say if you're interested
in
this
blood
show,
and tits?
You can definitely find us at several different places.
You put down a dollar, I'll send you a picture of Gabe's tits.
Yeah, you put down a dollar on Patreon, I will definitely flash you on camera.
Blood on them.
Well, that seems a little
excessive.
It's
candle wax.
Yeah. Whoa, no.
Scented.
My body, my rules, man.
Okay, me too.
Okay, me too. Jesus.
That's the second joke about that today. Sorry. If you want to send any complaints our way, you can visit us at www.totlb.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, on Instagram or Twitter. I mean, we can be on Twitter where you can verbally assault us on Twitter like everybody else gets done on
we
Twitter.
We insult everybody. Fucking
I know.
Stop.
It's hilarious. Yeah. I want it. I want the hate mail. You can visit us on Instagram.
It would be so fun to read that on the show.
Oh, dude, I would kill to have hate mail. Man. You can find either of those things at Outside Longbox Twitter and Instagram, or you can send us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can leave us a message on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline.
May he rest in peace.
970-573-6148. If you enjoy what you're hearing, like, for example, the chitter chatter of little children in the background or my daughter talking
Bailey.
About getting snitched. Or snitching out her parents, or if you want to know more about Tim and his desire to have blood on his tits, or Juan and his.
You can find me. I'm just going to cut you off and plug myself now because that's what I love to do anyway, right? You can find me at Aggravated
the
Artist
Butt
on
Plug
Facebook.
Enthusiast.
Yeah, you can find the BPE on Facebook and Instagram at Aggravated Artist.
You should spell it because Aggravated.
Yeah, you spell Aggravated wrong.
Aggravated Artist.
Should have done that in NPR voice.
Aggravated Artist.
Wow, that was sexual.
That
voice.
Was, yeah.
Oof,
that was...
My panties almost fell.
God damn.
My panties are soaked right now.
If you want to hear more of Tim's sultry voice, you can...
Maybe we'll just have him read us fucking like a segment. It'll just be sex stories that he'll
sex
read.
Stories from Tim.
I'll read the hate mail in that voice.
Oh, yeah. So please send us hate mail. If you like what you're hearing, you can support us one of two different ways. You can go to Amazon.totlb.com takes you to a regular Amazon search page. You can buy all of those cheap-ass Marvel digital trades right now.
Yeah.
Like you could get Black Panther Volume 1 by Ta-Nehisi Coates for friggin' 80 cents right now, which I definitely am going to buy because I want to read that. But you can also
you can
go
buy your Valentine's Day presents.
You could buy Valentine's Day presents, or you could buy just regular stuff
that you buy on Amazon, like 50-gallon drums of lube, or
God, you know what I so deliver as the resident mailman? I deliver an alarming
that amount hates of city paper. Mail carriers.
Do you deliver an alarming amount of toilet paper?
Insane.
I guess that makes
not
sense.
To cities though. Fuck city mail carriers.
No, please don't do that to me. Actually, you know what? Bring the hate mail. Because I want to read it.
In your sex voice.
No, I like city care. No, like toilet paper and dog food. Like, what are you going to do if you run out of those anyway? You're just going to shit in your hand until you get your toilet paper from Amazon?
You know what you should do? What women should do is buy bulk tampons. Yeah.
I guarantee that's a thing. Yeah. You can buy bulk whatever on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, you could buy years worth of fucking feminine products.
Yeah.
You're going to need
probably
it.
Get a huge discount.
Yeah.
You know it's happening.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. He doesn't know it's happening because I guarantee he doesn't understand how that shit works.
He needs a feminine product.
He thinks you grab it. That's not how that works.
Come on. That was just locker room talk.
Oh, man, I'm trying not to bring it up. Anyway, the other way you can support us is by going to patreon.com/TOTLB, where you can get exclusive videos and prizes and, like, shirts that say things like ranch, never drink alone.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's a good time. We have a good
time.
I'm going
to give away this Jason Mentz thing because we're still running that contest.
Oh yeah, about finding out the
two people have sent us ideas about.
We have two prizes.
Yeah. So I'm going to give away this little Jason Mentz.
Oh, I want to win that.
Prize. So.
That's the Jay and Silent Bob print. Yeah. Oh, I love it. That's awesome. So with that, we're going to be doing some planning over the next week about the Aquaman versus Namor charity experience. That's what I'm starting to call it.
I came up with some ideas for that, by the way.
Good.
We can talk about it afterwards.
We'll turn them in.
Turn them in.
And then
you
could
win
a
prize.
Yeah. I'm going to have to.
Jason, our Patreon supporter, sent us a breakdown.
So far, he's in the lead.
He is in the lead. It's really good. There's other stuff that we could probably add into it from Tim and Megan and stuff to make it even better.
I don't like Tim, though.
I like
him. Because he's a mail carrier.
He's one of those goddamn
rural
mail
carriers.
I hate being a rural mail. It's all right. Self-loathing career.
Self-loathing rural mail carrier. I have a hard time saying that word.
Rural. Me too.
It's a weird
word. You know
what's
another one is rear wheel drive.
Rear
That's
wheel
hard
drive.
To say. That's hard to say sometimes.
I like how you say horror.
Horror?
Yeah, because
it sounds like I'm saying whore. Yeah, when I say horror,
I love those
it sounds
horror books.
Like I say whore.
I love horror books. They're my favorite.
Now I'm confused about what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, horror books.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Horror books?
Horror
shit.
Books.
You know, books about dead
horrors. I still need to make my first video on Costa Rica. I really want to make
on
some
where?
YouTube videos on Cuba, not Costa Rica. Yeah. I want to go to Costa Rica too, actually. But
I think you can go there without
beautiful.
A passport, can't you?
No, I don't think so.
No, Belize. I think it's Belize that we have like a contract with or something.
U.S.
territory. I don't know.
I think Belize is a U.S. territory.
I don't think Belize is a U.S. territory.
I think there's a country in Central America.
It might
America.
Be Costa Rica. It might be Costa
okay.
Rica.
I don't know. Anyways.
I don't think it's Belize.
I only know about the Marshall Islands down that way, but that's in the Bahamas, I think.
I don't fucking know. Anyway.
Anyway, you can go to patreon.com /TOTLB, check out some excellent videos, and just have a good time with us. We love participating with you guys, so please contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, Patreon, however
it
is.
Man, if you're reading books, tag us in what you're reading. That's my jam right there. I love seeing what other people are doing, and I love when people interact with us, so. I usually take care of almost everything, so.
Yeah, basically I do. Oh, don't even start with me. I literally have twice as many children as you.
She's old enough. She doesn't need to be taken care of.
I've been
of.
Doing really good posting shit to Instagram.
You have been.
Like, I'm trying. Oh, fuck you. I tried to play that video game for like an hour, too, for the record.
I was trying to let you have some fun.
I know. I'm excited
he's
to play.
Like, he's like, this is on Steam. And I was like, I don't know what that is.
He gave
Gable,
me some,
no.
He gave me some good troubleshooting tips. I think I don't have like the latest version of like the Apple operating system on my computer.
Oh, yeah.
So I should be able to put that on and play the game. So
maybe.
If I do.
Is the game for Apple?
No.
It's for Mac. It's on Steam, so it'll do either. So
that's not entirely true.
Some
games are PC only.
He says it's on Mac and.
Yeah, bitch.
I'm just I don't
no. That was actually
happening.
Like my first question.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Also, leave a 5-star review Tim. On iTunes or any other podcast aggregator.
Yes, please.
There. Get to it, motherfucker.
Oh, wow. My God. Get off my nuts.
Wow. Tim's taking my spot today.
I'm not high anymore. I'm just hopped up on caffeine. I will angry. Go over he's there. I will fucking shit. Slap your he's, ass around.
He's turning brown. Oh, God.
He's turning brown.
He's sweating salsa and shitting chalupas.
Orderly!
Yes!
Oh, shit.
Where's this Mexican music coming from?
See, women, we make fun of Mexicans too.
Oh man,
Doyle's not here.
Oh, Bailey literally had to lay down. Oh shit. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, whatever random podcast downloading thing you use, and give us a 5-star review. It helps us get to the top of lists so that people actually find out about this podcast, which is in fact the world's greatest pop culture podcast called Thinking Outside the Long Box. Yes. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I am not a Mexican Hulk.
But he does hate mail carriers.
No, he doesn't.
Just city ones.
Just this city is, mail carriers. No, he doesn't.
This has been episode
mail carriers.
This has been episode 79 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. Have a good couple of weeks. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.